So you left off with a question that runs as follows. Post the question. If the decision of the Belzin by Pshara is considered a Pshat, and the reason why it's binding is because the Pshat of the Belzin is binding unless they made an error. Unless the Belzin made an error. And there are two types of Belzin. There's a Belzin where the Pshat can be, and a Belzin where the Pshat can finish your Sardin. You can't force it down his throat. You can't force down the throat of the Baladin and the Pshat and the finish your Sardin unless they both agree. And if you force it down that throat, that's an error. Because you have no right to establish such a Belzin in the first place. But if they both authorize the both Baladin and authorize the Belzin to issue a Pshat, a Pshat and the finish your Sardin, so the Pshat is binding because both Pshatim are binding, Bezin and Bas Bezin and Lodaki. So why do you need a Kabbalah's king in an event? Why is it necessary to have a Kabbalah's king? So in order to understand that, we discussed a little bit what king and Sudan means. What do you Kabbalah's king? And both of you are handkerchiefs. So each one of the fathers and said, you accept upon yourself, by you accepting your handkerchief, and you accepted upon yourself an obligation to follow the Pesach. And he says, yes, and give the handkerchief to the next guy. So why do you need that giving of the handkerchief? So we started with the following. Tosfos on Vav Amud Aleph going over to Amud Beis has a very long Tosfos. Truth of the matter is there are really two different Tosfos. If you look on the other, the Tosfos Harash and the other Rishon, they're really two different units. The Tosfos on Amud Aleph still the last line. And then the last line they say, Mikam Chazor Abinitzvah, not Sherev, the Pharaoh, it's really a different Tosfos. The Tosfos on Amud Beis, the Tosfos on the top of Amud Beis discusses the issue as to whether Kinyan Sidon requires Eidus or Kiyam Adova. Something that the Gemara in Kiddushin, the original source of Eidus or Kiyam Adova is a Kiddushin on Dab Samach Hei Amud Beis. And the original source of the Gemara only says about Kiddushin. Doesn't really say about a get. He says Kiddushin is only valid if the person gives the room to the Kala and the person to the two witnesses. And if there was Kiddushin, then all of them, even after Pishu, who the Hishnah and Modin, even though they both admit to the fact that he gave her a ring, they say, I'm Kiddushinly, they're not married. You have to have Eidus, what we call today, Eidus and Kiyam Adavid. That's why Prime coined such a term. Eidus and Kiyam Adavid. Without the Eidus, it doesn't go off the ground, as opposed to Eidus with Bir Adavid, but by Bir Mamanil, it's only Eidus to be revised up the facts of the case, so, but it's not that without the Eidus, it's not found. The Gemara doesn't even say that he gets me Eidus and Kiyam Adavid. That's what Tosfos adds in. Tosfos in Gittin, Davdala and Amaralos, quotes Rabbi Natam, Rabbi Loima, that everybody agrees that you have to have Eidus Mesirah. The Machlokes, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lezer, that by Gittin, Eidus Hasimah Kaisi, Eidus Mesirah Kaisi, only in our community of Bush, you give a get in the presence of Eidus Mesirah without any Eidus Hasimah signed on the get. But if you give a get, that do have, well, does have Eidus Hasimah. But you don't have Eidus Mesirah when you give it over. So the Rabbi Nitam says that's a quote that's no good. Everybody agrees you have to have Eidus Mesirah. Eidus Mesirah is like there from Kiddushin, just like Kiddushin is a devil should be over and you need Eidus Lekim HaDavah. So a get is also a devil should be over and you require Eidus Lekim HaDavah. That's the Rabbi Nitam. Not all of Rishonim agree. That's the Rabbi Nitam sheet. So the question is, all right, so we generally, let's say we'll assume that that Kiddushin means Eidus and Kiyam HaDavah, that's the Gemara. And let's say like the Rabbi Natan, that a get means Eidus and Kiyam HaDavah. What is the source for that, that you need Eidus and Kiyam HaDavah? So the Gemara says, Kimotza Be'Ovas Devah. The word Devah appears in connection with the term Ovas Devah. And the word Devah appears in the other passage, Kapishneid, Ma'kishay Shreid, Yachim Devah, that's talking about Mamanis. The two psukim that are very similar. Apishnaim Apishlesh Eidim Yumas Ameis Apishnaim Apishlesh Eidim Yachim Dov. So Yumas Ameis is talking about Dini Nefeshes and Yachim Dov is talking about Dini Mamins. So it says there Shnei Eidim in connection with Yachim Dov. So we let it go Shabbat Dov about Dini Mamins. Here it says Yachim Dov. So that's how we establish the principle that a Dov should be over needs Eidus. It needs two Eidus. Yeah. We would have understood if the Gemara would have said that to be Mavaya, the Gemara says this, that to be Mavaya, that a woman was Mavana, that she was Asiya Baila, that means Shnei Eidim Nadir Hadeva, just like Mammon means Shnei Eidim Nadir Hadeva, and even the Feshis requires Shnei Eidim Nadir Hadeva, so Tabisha Biyab also requires Shnei Eidim Nadir Hadeva. One might have thought Well, then Shabiyahu should be the same as Rechanan and Yisur. It's in the area of Yisra Hetter, whether the woman is Asura Abayl or not. So Kamashman and Yisra Hetter, the Rav Shabiyahu is not treated the same as Rechanan and Yisur. It requires Shneirim like Mamanus. The Sashis mean Shneirim, and Mamanus mean Shneirim, Rav Shabiyahu mean Shneirim. But how do we know to see from this same passage, the more learns from this Yisra Hetter, the Rav Shabiyahu mean Mamanus, two parts to the group. One part of the halacha is that you need to do adava should be as you need to wait him. And the second part of the halacha is that lekim adava you need shnei oidim. So it's a major problem. How can we learn adava adava mimamim that you need shnei oidim? Lekim adava by adava should be as just like that. Even mamim is only just like so too. And mamim is good for you to only wait it to lekim adava. That's the Rashba's kasha. So you don't know exactly what the answer is. The kasha is better than all of the answers that he gives. Somehow the Gemara learns that from that Zereshavah, Devah Mimamim, the two parts to begin. Again, Devah should be other parts of Pishtan, both Lekima Devah and Lebiya Devah. So the question is, how far do we go with this Devah should be other requiring Shneid and Lekima Devah? So Rabbi Natam says it's not restricted only to Kedushim, even applies to Gittin, fine. Here, Tosis raises the question I've heard on the days, maybe we should even require Shneid and Lekima Devah by Chalipim. Those chalipim have to do with Devah Shabiyahu. Why should anybody in his right mind think that chalipim means Zaydus Lekim Adava? Because the Gemara sounds like it says so. The Gemara Adava Basadat Mem states, Kinyan, Vishnei Shnayim, Vein Sach Lam Atzovah. So Kinyan means Kinyan Sura. Often the Rishonim will spell Kinyan Sura with two words in order to distinguish it from all other Kinyan. But some Kinyan means Kinyan Sura. Kinyan, Vishnei Shnayim, Vein Sach Lam Atzovah means. So many Rishonim understand the Gemara to mean a Kinyan Siddur in order to be valid must be done in the presence of two witnesses, and if you did Kinyan Siddur, Shaleh Bishnei Shnei Eidim, the Kinyan is not valid, it's not meaningful. So here Tosfos says that the Baal HaTosfos, he used to say like that, Mikan Chazra B'Nisim Rav Mochai, he backed out from what he used to say. For years he used to think that that's what it says in Baba Basra, Kinyan Bishnei Shnayim. And he from this Gemara, I'm asking you, but that's not so. From this Gemara, he came to the realization that it was incorrect. So Tosfos has a debate on the issue. Whether it is correct or it's not correct, now Rabbi Natan proves that it's not correct, right? And the writer insists, the Rambam writes that, in Hilchos Mechira, the Rambam writes that, no king, one and one, and you, the Edison, king, my brother, not Chazaka, and not Kesef, and not Mashiach, and not Hanboa, and not Mesira, and not Chalipin, and nothing, Kshtar, none of the Kinyanim, none of the Yidus, and Kim Adava, and the writer writes over there, not everybody agrees by Kinyan Siddur. But the writer in the Shibun Kodesh, and some Baba Basa, that man, holds like the Ispala Tesis, that you do require Yidus, and Kim Adava, by Chalipin. So the question is, where is the passage? What? You're going to somehow, by the stretch of the imagination, you're going to say that Kinyan Siddur is also Devah Shabiyahu. I guess I can understand why it's Devah Shabiyahu. Tradition is Devah Shabiyahu, so I guess it's also Devah Shabiyahu. The Rashba thinks that it's not the same. The Rashba says, when you make tradition, that's Devah Shabiyahu. When you're not to the woman, he's not so convinced that that should be called the Devah Shabiyahu. So I've been in some hell that it is. Either making or breaking a marriage. Well, how can you extend Devah Shabiyahu even for Halitan? So the pastor says you're not really extending from that passage by the government moment. You're not basing it on that passage that Chalipin is Eidus Lekim Adav. It's rather based on the passage in Megillas Rus. The whole source of Chalipin is from Megillas Rus. And it says in the passage, the Zos HaTzehuda Ben Yisrael. So the Ibn Ezra translates the words Tzehuda Ben Yisrael Eidus. Azem Ibn Ha'Eidus. This is what the Eidim have to testify about. But you get the impression as if that's what he's driving at, as if the Ibn Ezra is interpreting in the words of the Pasuk and the Gilas Ruiz that it's crucial to have Eidus and Kim Adeva by Chalipim. If you don't have Eidim and you don't have Azos meeting the Eidim, then the whole Chalipim doesn't go up in a flame. The question is how are you supposed to understand that? Why should it be so? That's what the Tosfos of Harosh and Kiddushin asks. These whole Tosfos, the 10 lines on the base, the 15 lines on the base, appear in the Tosfos and Kiddushin also, on Samachem base. They go back and forth, or Rabbi Natan, or Rabbi Yitzchak, or Rabbi Chashan, or the right, back and forth, whether right or wrong. And then Tosfos comes to the same conclusion as over here, that the same as the Rambam. They don't agree with the right. You don't need Eidus Lekim Adava. Tosfos HaRosh wakes up, they're in Kiddushin, and it says, I don't understand the whole topic. Why was it raised in the first place? Why should anybody in his right mind think that you should be raised in the Kiddushin over by Khalifa? He probably didn't realize that the track in the Pasuk in Ruth, Zos Atzuri B'Yisrael, I wasn't even raised it. That sounds very much like you need raised in the Kiddushin. But he's asking, he doesn't understand it so. He's asking, why should you single out Kinyan Halipin? Manishtara Kinyan Azami Tola Kinyani? Why should Kinyan Halipin be different from all the other Kinyan? No, the other Kinyan is for sure you don't know this is Kinyan Adova. Why should you have a Zeris Apostle that singles out Kinyan Halipin that should be different from all the other Kinyan? It's a Chapella. It doesn't make any sense. Another thing that doesn't make any sense is the Rambam shoots with the Rambam, the Adam is, does make sense. The Rambam says, Kini Khalifin, same as all the others in Rambam, there's no need for others to kill my brother. But the Rambam writes, in the end of Hilchos Mechira, in Perek Chavtes, in Hilchos Mechira, he starts off the Torah, that there were three individuals, Shlosha, Ein Mitzcha Mekach, Ein Amkera Memkach, Tivar Torah. That Midya Raisa, the Chereish Ha'atrikat, Ma'alap, and Ha'idei Amunu, that they can't sell, and they can't buy, and so on. But with the Rabbanon, they made it up on it that if the Kotten was a deal, the Enos Achuta is, if the Kotten was a Yosin, he has no apotropis to take care of his monetary affairs. And it's understood that he's going to have to take care of his own. But Minatari, he can't sell, he can't buy, can't be anything. So he made it up on it with the Rabbanon, they're on the Tafel, and he can sell and he can buy. On Karaka, they were afraid to make a takana because he can fall in. Karaka, he can make mistakes, lacking mistakes. That's why some Rishonim say that's the reason why Ein HaMelech Karkos, because Karaka can be very valuable, the value can fluctuate tremendously as opposed to Metalpilim, is it a more reasonable range of prices on Metalpilim. So on Karka they never made this takana, but on the Talton they made a takana, but Kotten, she did learn this Akutis, he's a Yosin, and he has the opportunity to take care of his money, and say, Kotten, she did learn this Akutis, Mitzvah Mekech, and I'm Kira Memta, be the Talton. So the Rambam writes Akhidish, he thinks that even though the Kotten has the ability with the Rabbanon to make a Yonin, that he cannot sell Ayidei Chalipin. I'm Shtana Chalipin, so they write it is. Why is Chalipin different from all the other Kinyonim? The same Kasha we asked on the writer, but the writer writes in the beginning of Hilchos Mechira. And the Rambam writes that you never read Eidus Nikim Adolfa by Yonim Kinyonim, so the writer writes there's no exception to the rule, Chalipin. So we don't understand why the writer has the Chalipin is different. What's the story? So here, the writer asks on the Rambam, that the Rambam, here was that rising. It's in Perikei in Hilchos Mechira, Halacha Tes. So we had the Machlokes, the Rambam, and the Rizal, where the Rizalis came out of Abba Chalipin. So the Rizal singles out Chalipin is different from all the other Kinyan. So the Rosh, Tesla Rosh says, he doesn't understand. Why should Chalipin be different? So here, that's exactly the Tanya that the Rizal asks against the Rambam. Why should Chalipin be different from all the other Kinyan? Manishtana. As a Kotma Shigir, Lonis Apotis can sell Tafelin with all the other Kinyonim. So why does the Rambam say that Chalipin is no good? The writer doesn't understand. So the Rambam tells you the reason. He says the reason why is because some Kinyon with Siva Ome, Shakinyon Bishtar, that's in Perek Kotes, in Mechira Halachotes, because the Gemara says there in Bari Basra Daf Mem Amen Aleph, when you make a Kinyan Seder, so it's self-understood that it's probably going to lead up to the writing of the Shtar. And the witnesses who are watching when they make the Kinyan Chalipin don't have to consult the two parties to be authorized to write the Shtar. Normally, you're not allowed to write the Shtar without authorization of the Das on the side, otherwise it's between 11 feet 7. It's only considered a Shtar, which is not in violation of 11 feet 7, if the Das on the side authorized the writing of the Shtar. But what happens if the witnesses are watching the way they lay the Kinyan Chalipin? But then it says, in self-blame itself. They don't have to consult the man to ask, should we write a shtar? We assume the stam kinyan is sivar. So the Rambam says that since a kinyan is sivar, only by kinyan is sivar. That's how we read the Rubah of the Rishon, that's how we pass from Shulchan Aruch. Stam kinyan is sivar, and only applies to kinyan is sivar. In Shulchan Aruch, that's what it says in the Mechaber. And then they give a long list of Rishonim who also like that. cases when Tzibus happens not to agree. But Mishokhanah could not quote that cases. Mishokhanah says, well, come Rishon Eshtabi, I ran 10 Rishonim. The Chabba just makes some statement and then you have parentheses in the Chabba. Usually they would have it in the Beragola on the side. And here it has in parentheses in the middle of the Chabba a whole list of whether the Rishonim would say that right. So the Ramam is also like that, the Feirush. The Stam Kinyan, it's through the Emet. You don't have to, the witnesses don't have to ask for explicit authorization in order to write a Shtar if they witness a Kinyan Halitim is only if they witness a Kinyan Halitim. If they see somebody sell his field the Kesef or the Chazak, Kesef or Chazak, so then they have no right to write a Shtar without explicit authorization. You only say Stam Kinyan, it's through the Emet. By Kimi Halitim, by Kimi Seder. So the Yamam says that this, he gives you a logical argument here. Since Kinyan Seder normally leads up to writing of a star, and this is a double pressure that you cannot write a star against the Kotni. Very Chosna, now our star shall let him go. He can't sign a star. Witnesses can't sign a star. If it's a Kotni who wants to cancel ownership, only a double, if the time it's the. So since the Kinyan Seder normally leads up to Shtar, and Shtar is impossible by a Kotni, so the Kinyan Seder is impossible also. What kind of an argument is that? What kind of a proof is that? If normally Kinyan Seder normally leads up to Shtar, it would be a Kotni who's selling, it won't lead up to Shtar. If the Rambam is so convinced, hey, Adam Christ is now a Shtar Shal Adam Gadol, how does he know that that's true? How does he know that that's correct? Maybe it's not true. Maybe he can write a star. Just like the native Takanam of the Rabban, where the Kotni Shigil and the Kotnis can make all the Kinyonim. So maybe the Kotni can make, can authorize the writing of a star also. So it would appear from the Rabban, so that's how rich you can talk about this Rabban. It would appear from the Rambam that he means to say that there are two levels of Das here. There's a Das Machna, and then there's a, just to call it a name to distinguish it from the plain Das Machna, we'll call it a Das Hamiskalit. So a Das Machna, Cheresh, Eter, Kotten don't have any Das. That's how the Perek begins. Perek Kostes, and Hilchus Michel, Shleisha, there are three individuals, Ein Mitcham Nekach, Ein Amkir, Menta, Din Torem. And I thought the Cheresh, Eter, Kotten are all in the same boat. But Tikna Chachamim, the Chachamim are mistaken, that the Kotni, who's a Yosin, who doesn't have enough Pachapas, etc., so we shouldn't be a Chayav, in order to make a Panos, or in order to make a Panos, that we should be able to make a Kinyonim in the area of the Talkin. So that Takana was, if the Rambam understands, if he makes normally Kinyonim with Kradas, and the Kotni is allowed by Das, he can't make any Kinyonim, by definition. Kotni is allowed by Das, he can't make Kinyonim, every Kinyonim with Das. So here, the Meir Takana, that a Kotni Shigil Eretz HaPutis can make Kinyonim without Das. He can't make a Takana that he has Das. He doesn't have Das. Sof Pasad, he doesn't have Das. So the Meir Takana is, the Meir Takana with the Rabbanon, that the Kotni Shigil Eretz HaPutis, if he makes the Kinyonim and he wants to transfer ownership, I'm a Talkalim. So we say the Kinyonim are valid without Das. So Bamed Ramam Rim, the Ramam thinks, when does it make sense to make such a takana that the Kinyan is chal without Das? That's only by all other Kinyanim that only by Kinyan Mo'os or Kinyan Mishich or Abba or whatever other Kinyanim that only require Das Machna. But if you have a Kinyan that requires that there's something higher than that, Das HaMishchayos, so that the Kinyan is a make a takana with the Rabban. What exactly is a Das HaMishchayos? So maybe we can explain it like this. By all other Kinyanim, you have to have Das that the Kinyan should be labeled as a Kinyan, and then the Kinyan serves as to accomplish the change in ownership. When you make a Kinyan Hagbah, it belongs to you, except that the Kinyan Hagbah made the fact Das not a valid Kinyan. But it's not that the Das creates the Havaras Habailas. The Das labels the Maisi Kinyan as a Maisi Kinyan, and then the Kinyan accomplishes the Halos. So whereas normally we say Kinyan that Dambali Das is nothing, is not valid, but the Kotni Shigil Eretz HaPutis, that was a Takana Midi Rabbanan, that the Kinyan B'li Das is a good Kinyan. But by Das HaMishchayos, in the cases when we Das HaMishchayos, there are times it is the two cases, we require Das HaMishchayos, we usually say that in order to write a Shtar, you have to have Das HaMishchayos. So the Rambam holds that since Stam Kinyan and Sivu Eimed, so not only the Shtar need Das HaMishchayos, Kinyan Halitim also needs Das HaMishchayos. These two need Das HaMishchayos. What does that mean, higher level of das, lower level of das? What do you mean a higher level of das? So look at what it means is like this. The giving over of the handkerchief to Suda, that's just a symbol of God that there is das. And the das is what really accomplishes the hakna. It's really hakna on the das. That's the pshat by Shalipin, and that's the pshat by shtar as well. That's why by shtar you say, you can only write the shtar with das on the sky. Why don't we use a different notion? Why don't we point a Torah? You can only write the shtar with das on hakna. The same thing, we're driving on the same, the answer is not the same thing. Das hamakna means the das accomplishes that this constitutes, this act constitutes a kinyan, and now the maisa kinyan accomplishes the halosa kinyan. Here, it's not the case like that by shtar. The shtar is sakyev, backwards, the shtar is an indication, the shtar and the halifa are an indication that there is das here, and the das accomplishes the halosa. So that's why we use this term, das hamiskai. So that's what the Rambam says. You can't have das hamiskai by self. Himself kosof is allowed by das. They can't make a takanam rabbanon that he has das. He doesn't have any das. They can make a takanam rabbanon that the maisa kinyan that he makes is a valid kinyan even though it doesn't have das. Normally kinyanim are only valid if they come along with das matne. And here by the cut and shidu and all this stuff, the kinyanim are valid even though they have no das. So the cut is allowed by das. But by these two, by shtar and by halipin, you cannot say that the kinyan will be valid despite the fact that there's no das. There is no kinyan. The whole kinyan only rests on the das. It's purely a haknomi das. Purely a haknomi das. This idea really is explicit in the Tosfos and Ksuvos that could be some of ours. The big Tosfos, around 25 lines, a big fat Tosfos. And then the Sibus picks up one line from that Tosfos and he says, that's what Tosfos said there. The Gemara has a Sibus, the Beis Anam, the Gemara has a Machlokes Avrecha and Shlokish. If I don't owe you money, and I say, I promise I'm going to give you $1,000. You say, okay, thank you very much, but you're afraid I may change my mind, so you want to make it legally binding. How do you make my commitment legally binding that I shouldn't be able to back up? So one way is if you make a kinyan seder, you give me a handkerchief and you tell me, please stay in the presence of the two witnesses, but you're accepting the handkerchief, you hereby obligate yourself to pay me, to give me this gift of $1,000. So if you do that, the Gemara says, kind of the other. Whenever the Gemara says, why is he mechayiv? It's just a promise by terms. The Gemara says, Achmaskin, it's kind of the other. Kind of the other, that creates a hiskayis. What if it wasn't kind of the other with a kinyan seder? What if I write on a piece of paper, I hereby obligate myself to give you $1,000 and I sign my name and I give it to you? Or the witnesses sign their name. That this is to ascertain that Shechter obligated himself to give benefits $1,000 and then I give over the document. So, Chai Banu Lachmona Bishtar. I hereby accept upon myself an obligation to give you $100 and I write this in the Shtar. Either I sign it or I get witnesses to sign it and I give over the Shtar. Does Shtar have the power to create his Chayus or not? So that's the Machlokes of Yochanan and Shlokish. The Shlokish says no. Shlokhi says that Chai Vanu Lachmona Bishtar, I hereby obligate myself to give you $100 and write a piece of paper that does not create a Hiskaidus moment. And we pass it like Rabbi Yochanan. That Chai Vanu Lachmona Bishtar, the Shtar can create a Hiskaidus moment. We pass it like Rabbi Yochanan. That's the person says an interesting comment that if you look in Yerushalmi, this whole Machlokes is presented totally differently from the way it says in the Bavli. And the Rishonim was supposedly edited by the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan, so one might have thought that that would have a better version of what Rabbi Yochanan's opinions are than the Talmud Bavli would have. And we pass it like whenever there's a dispute to Rabbi Yochanan Shlokish, we normally pass it like Rabbi Yochanan. It just says there are three exceptions to the rule, this is not one of the three. The Gemara says in Perek Acholot, and the second half in Perek Acholot, there are three exceptions to the rule where we pass like this Shlokish. This is not one of the three. So the din is going to be like Rabbi Yochanan, but which version of Rabbi Yochanan? The Bavli's version or the Yerushalmi's version? The Tosfos says, no, we always follow the Bavli even when it comes to ascertaining what Rabbi Yochanan says. Even though historically one might have thought that the Yerushalmi would be more reliable, the Tosfos says, no, we always follow the Bavli. That's a riff at the end of Eidim makes a fuss about that. The riff has a whole spin about Mashmiya Kol. I'm sure Shabbos, but you're not allowed to play musical instruments if the child is well about to knock on the door. There's a guy locked out of his house. He comes home at night on Friday night, and he wants to knock on the door, knock on the window, so they should know inside to open the door. So the Rishami says, you're not allowed to. Rishami says, the guy came home, he was allowed to scream. He was hollering how screaming to me. It didn't happen. It didn't rain. No one woke up, and he had to stay outside all night. If he would have knocked on the door, on the window, they would have said, but you're not allowed to knock on the door on Shabbos. And the Bavli says that it's not so. The Bavli says only music is also. But to knock on the door, that's okay. The Amor Shulchan Aruch has the Chumash, if you have a knocker, you have a kli hamyuchad lahashmas kol, even though it's not a klesh, not a rigim, it's not a musical sounding thing, it's just a knock. So it's a knocking, you're not allowed to. And many didn't follow that Rambam. There were different parts of Europe, in Germany, many didn't follow that Rambam. You see these knockers on Shabbos because it's not a meeting, it's not a kosher. So the youth over there discusses here, you have a contradiction between the Bavli and the Rishami, how should you pass them? So the youth has a whole statement, a policy statement over here. Whenever there's a contradiction to Bavli and Rishami, we follow the Bavli. We follow the Bavli. And we're going to go and think every day we should pass them like the Rishami. You're not allowed to knock on the door. You get stuck outside of the house. Not allowed to knock. You get scream on the top of your lungs all you want. Whistle. Sing a tune. But you're not allowed to knock on the door. Okay. So this Taisus in Ksuvus, based on the Nalok, goes along with that. This, we have this tradition that we follow the Bavli against the Rishami. Not only if there's an Achleitus Tam, what the deal is, even if there are two versions of what Rav Yochanan said. And one would have thought that the Rishami would be more reliable, but Taisus says, no, we still follow the Bavli. So how do we pass the Halacha like Rav Yochanan? That if I write down, I hereby obligate myself to give you $1,000, I give you the Shtar, the Holy Rosh of the Shtar creates the Hiskaidus Man. So Taisus in Bavli, this is the one line in this big Taisus that the Mesidus quotes. Taisus asks Akasha, we know that Shtar is a kingdom that works on Karka. And it doesn't work on the Tarpon. Kinyan and Karka don't work on the Tarpon. Kinyan and Tarpon don't work on Karka. That's a Gemara in Gittin. In the second text in Gittin, the Gemara says, we have an oxid snapples. So since there's a hole on the bottom of the flower pot, so whatever's growing in the flower pot is growing it from the ground below. So what's in the oxid snapple growing has to do like Mechuba la Karka, Dina ki Karka. And if there's an oxid chain on that, but it has now a hole in the bottom of the flower pot, then it's not being ready from the Karka Mikakas. It's being ready from the offer in the flower pot. But that's in the tree. It's not being ready from the earth that's on the globe. So the flower pot, the offer in the flower pot, with the flowers that are growing there, have the din of the Karka. They don't have the din of Karka. So therefore, the Gemara says, in the one case, where it's din of Kikarka, Chazoka will be Kaina, and Hagbo will not be Kaina. In the other case, where Zidik and Metalpim have there will be Kena, Hazak will not be Kena. So the Bnei Yeshua is bothered with the question, it's the exact same flower pot. What's the difference? Whether if you dig around and you help it grow, what if Bakurta is Hazak, if you dig a little bit? So what's the difference whether you're digging in a flower pot with a hole in the bottom without a hole, or you pick up the flower pot with a hole without a hole? You pick it up anyway. Of course you can't pick up a house. You can't do outgrown a house. You can't do outgrown a field. But a flower pot you can do outgrown. So why does the Gemara say whether Hazak works or not? Whether Chazaka works or not, depends whether it's Kikarka or Metalka. So the Bnei Yeshua writes on that Gemara and Gittin, and then he sees this in one place, quotes that Bnei Yeshua. The Klal is, he sees in this Gemara, it's a Klal that Kinyan and Karka don't work on Metalka, and Kinyan and Metalka don't work on Karka. So that's what Taisus says, the Kash and Tzidus. And that's true, based on an Aleph, how can Shtar become his Chayvitz of $1,000? The difference between Karka and Metalpalim is when you're talking about a tangible object. If you have a house or you have a field, that's called Karka. And if you have an automobile or you have a sofa or a suit, that's called Metalpalim. But if you're talking about an amount of money that you owe, that's not a tangible item at all. So the halacha declares that all, whenever you're talking about an amount of money, it's dinat Metalpalim. Dinat Zemish Bar Malakartos. You only have a shiur b'raisa if you're dealing with metalkin, not if you're dealing with karka. What if you're dealing with an amount of money that's neither karka nor metalkin? An abstract amount of money. I say I lent you $1,000 and you say not sure, you only borrowed $500. So that's a shiur b'raisa. Why is it a shiur b'raisa? That's not metalkin. The answer is, whenever you're talking about an amount of money, that's good money, then it is being a metalkin. The only time it's given to karka is when it's a tangible object which happens to be karka. But if it's a sin, Rambam is given to metalkin. So Tosfos says the kasha, if an amount of money is considered dina to metalkin, when you get to kolotel kula, and we have a klala, kinyani karka don't work on metalkin. So how can shtar is a hakim in karka? How can shtar accomplish his, to create his kaidis moment? If I write on a document, I hereby obligate myself to give you $1,000 and I give you a shtar. So how does that clinch the obligation, the commitment, and now I owe you $1,000? But shtar can only be good to become a karka, it's not good to become a metalkin, and the amount of money is given to metalkin. That's Tosfos kasha. So Tosfos answers then on one line. Tell you one line. So Tosfos asks briefly the kasha, how can it work? How can I be able to say chayav on this money? Shtar is good. Shtar is only good on karka, it's not good on metalkin. So the answer is that zvon hanitin b'amira. What do you mean? It's like zvon hanitin b'amira. So the Nesiva says that Tosfos, do you realize what Tosfos said over here? That shtar is kind of, shtar is not a kinyan karka and it's not a kinyan metalkin. Shtar is just a demonstration that there is das. And the das on the side accomplishes, the das of the person accomplishes the chalei sakim. It's not like chazotan, like keset, and like mishich and hagbor, and misir and all the other kinyonim, that the das is necessary to label the maisi kinyon, and then the maisi kinyon accomplishes the chalei sakim. No, but we have bashtar. The shtar is just an indication that there is a real strong das, and then the das alone accomplishes the chalei sakim. So therefore, since you cannot really label it as a kinyan karka, it's just that the shtar is just an indication that there's a stronger level of das. So that's why this rule doesn't apply over here. The rule that kinyan karka don't work to become a metalkin doesn't apply by shtar. Shtar is not a kinyan karka. It's just assuming that there's a real das, so shtar will work on metalkin also. And I might say, so if I want to sell you a seat, I want to sell you a chair, so I can sell you the chair with shtar? No, it's a mitzvah din. You can't sell metalkin with a shtar. Now, how did Tosfos blow over here? Tosfos says, no, so there's a mitzvah, we mentioned there's a mitzvah, and Amechas Asfina. The mitzvah of Barabbas points out the Loshon HaGemara is metalkin lav b'nei nevet shtar minu. So the mitzvah says, it's not a halacha that shtar isn't kainer on metalkin. Metalkin don't lend themselves to shtar. If metalkin would have lent themselves to shtar would have begun on metalkin also. There's no halacha the shtar is a kinyan karka. And kinyan karka don't work on metalkin. There is a real kinyan karka that work on metalkin. Yeah, that's keset is kinyan karka. That's chazot is a kinyan karka. That's work on metalkin. But shtar is not a kinyan karka. Shtar is a demonstration that there's a gnuas da'as, so shtar works on karka metalkin as well. But metalkin are just not mitzvahs in shtar. He says, if I sell you karka, I can identify where the karka is. I say, I own the building at 500 West 186th Street, New York City, 10033. So there's only one place with that address, that's it. So I describe where the karka is in the shtar. But by metalkin, what am I going to say? I'm selling you a set of Rambams. How do you describe in the shtar? Where the Rambam, what the which Rambams? According to him, it should come out that if you have the Mona Lisa, he's running the world. That's how. I'm selling you the Mona Lisa. Something I'm selling you. I have the original manuscript of the Rambam, the original manuscript of the Rambam of the Yad HaZaka. So there's only one in the whole world. So whenever it's something that's only one in the whole world, maybe it does lend itself to shtar. So the request is the reason why metalkin and labanim never shtar minu, the reason why shtar does work on metalkin is not because shtar is a kinyan karka does work on metalkin. No! In principle it should work on karka metalkin also. It's just that we can't describe well enough. You can't describe metalkin in the shtar. It doesn't lend itself to shtar. So if there's a metalkin that's only one in the whole wide world, then it should lend itself to shtar. Maybe it will. So the Nesivus points out this Tosfos in Ksubas and that Kuv Beis Amiravis, that shtar works on karka, shtar really works on the metalkin also. That's why shtar works to create his chayvus moment. His chayvus moment is really metalkin. The answer is, when you're talking about an amount of money, that can be described very well. I write my name, Herschel Schechter, and that's me. Right. I obligate myself to give you $1,000.
Yeah,
$1,000. It's very well described. You don't have to give any more definite descriptions. There, I'm selling you a set of Rambams. Which Rambam? Is it 2-volume Rambam, a handwritten Rambam, a Rambam Laham, a 20-volume Rambam, a 6-volume Rambam, a 4-volume Rambam? Which Rambam are you selling him? And there are thousands of Otakim of every Rambam, the thousands of copies of every set of the Rambam business. So which set are you selling him? There's no way to describe Mekaltarim in the Shtar. So that's why Mekaltarim Lareb Benay Mevich Tarim in it. But if you have a school money and you want to obligate yourself for a school money, then Tosef explains that's what he says in Mar. The Shtar is good. Why? Because Shtar is not really a kinyan. Shtar is an indication that there's a Gemira's Das, and the Gemira's Das accomplishes the Chalos HaKinyan. So it sounds like the Rambam means to say that these two, Shtar and Chalitin, the reason why Stam Kinyan with Siva Emer is because whenever you have a Kinyan Chalitin, so you already have a Das HaMeschayv, so there's no need that he should give a second time a Das HaMeschayv to authorize the Eidim to write the Shtar. Because Shtar is the same as Chalitin, that they both need Das HaMeschayv. And that's what the Rambam says, it's impossible for a Kotni, Shikir, Lohanis, Al-Putis, even after a Takana de Rabbanon. It's impossible to say that the Kotni, Shikir, Lohanis, Al-Putis should be able to transfer ownership, should be Makna with Shtar or with Chalitin, because by these two, all you have is the Da, so the Kotni is the Chalab Baja. So this perhaps is what the Raivid Shita is all about. Why the Raivid and why some of the Balei HaPosis thought originally they had to disprove it, why they thought that you need Eidus Rekir Madraga by Chalitin. So the Rosh asks, where did this Hava Amina come from? Why do you even have to disprove such a theory? If it takes it, why should anybody in his right mind think that Chalitin should be different from all the other things, huh? The answer is, by all other Kinyanim, you only need Das Machne labels the Maisa as a Maisa Kinyan. But by Chalipin or by Shtar, it's not a matter of Das Machne. The Shtar is an indication, or the Chalipin is an indication that there is Gemiras Das, and the Gemiras Das accomplishes the Chalos HaKinyan. So maybe we should require Eidim present to elevate the level of Das, to strengthen the Das, that it should be elevated to the level of a Das HaMeschayev. A plain Das Machne is good, even Beinola Beinola, there's nobody watching. And maybe in order that the Das should be a stronger Das, that it should be able to accomplish the Chalos HaKinyan on its own, maybe that Das has to be expressed in public. This Svara appears in the Mishnah LaMelech and in the Chiddush HaRabchaim in Hilchos Chalitza. Mishnah LaMelech in Hilchos Ishus and Rabchaim in Hilchos Chalitza both develop an idea that perhaps the concept of Eidus Lekir Madova by Gittin Lekidushin that we require is not Samach, but it's a concept that it's not Chal unless you have Eidim watching. If Eidim are watching, then it's Chal. If you don't have Eidim, it's not Chal. They develop a notion that maybe the Eidim are needed to elevate the level of Das. A Das that's expressed in public is considered a stronger Das than a Das that's expressed privately. That's how it's public and that's how it's private. So if the Das is expressed in the presence of two Kashra Eidim, and I won't be able to deny it later. Well, a lot of people in business, they promise and they commit, and then later on, they don't deliver. Not only business, all over. Years ago, we used to have an yeshiva. There were certain members of the administration who were very friendly and very nice, and whenever they would have students in their offices, they would take them around the shoulder. They would always say the expression was, Beinayim ala Beinatzmein, everything was Beinayim ala Beinatzmein, and they would promise everything, and they never lived up to anything, because they never had any Eidus Lekir Madova. You can never prove that he promised it. The guy would always deny that he ever made such a promise. He was a bar hochi to promise and to commit himself, and he never lived up to his commitment, because there were never any Eidim, so he can never prove it. So that's apparently what these Rishonim thought, that since Eidus, the Pshat and Eidus Lekir, the reason why we need Eidus Lekir Madova by Gittin Lekidushin is because you need a higher level of Das. That's how the Mishnah Melech suggests, and that's what Chaim thinks the Rambam holds like that. That's the Shaila whether Chalitza needs Eidus Lekir Madova, or whether Yibum need Eidus Lekir Madova. The deal is that Yibum is kind of even if he didn't realize that this is the Yavama. He thought that this was his wife, and he was together with his wife. Then he found out later on, no, he made a mistake. This is not his wife, this was the Yavama. So the Mishnah says, Abra Yudim, that's the first Mishnah in Parak Abra Yudim, so Ben Shagid, Ben Yemezid, Ben Yemez, Ben Yemez, so let's say we held a gun to his head. The Yavama held the gun, and she forces him to do the Yavama, and he says, but he doesn't want this. She says, if you know what's good for you, you'll do this evil. And he says, but I don't want to be Kainan. So it doesn't matter what he says. Yibam is Kainan Bal Kocha. Bal Kocha is Bal Kocha. Doesn't matter who holds the gun to whom. You can have a third party holding the gun to both of their heads. Nobody wants it. Nobody wants it. If he just did it, he says, you can't even have any das at all. But that's the discussion that the Mishnah Melech raises, that Rav Chaim picks up on. Does it make sense to require Eidus and Kima Dover by Yibum? Machlok is a Rishonim. Why? Maybe the whole concept of Eidus and Kima Dover is only applicable when you need a higher, when you require a higher level of Das. So the fact that you have witnesses present elevates the level of Das to a higher level. But if you don't need Das at all, if you don't need Das at all, Chalitza is kind of about Kochai. Yibum is kind of about Kochai. Chalitza is not kind of about Kochai. Chalitz is only materially Hinosul Ashuk if he has Achet Iskabin. You need Achet Iskabin who you need, that they should both have Kavanah. But you don't need Daf. That's why Abchaim proves from the Gemara. You see from the Gemara, several halachas from the Gemara, that you don't require Daf by Chalitz. You can't say you need Eidus who came with Daf by Chalitz to elevate the level of Daf to a higher level. You don't even need the first level of Daf. So why should you say you need the higher level of Daf? So that's a machlokes. So we show you whether you need Eidus and Kiyum HaDava by Chalitza and by Yibum. Maybe the halacha that requires Eidus and Kiyum HaDava by Daf should be whether has nothing to do with elevating the level of Daf. But some Rishonim hold that it does. And that's why we can understand why some Rishonim think that this requirement of Eidus and Kiyum HaDava makes sense even by Chalitin. Because the whole essence of Chalitin means that you have this. The suit, the beginning level of the handkerchief is just a similar dover that there's a higher level of das, and the das makna, the das amischai, it's a hakna mi das. The das accomplishes the chalos hakini. So it would appear that both the Rambam and the Raivin hold like that. The Raivin holds that the new ladies who came out of the Bachalit, and the Rambam does not agree. The Rambam holds that a cotton shigil and a cotton cannot make a king and Peter, the Raivin doesn't agree, but they both, outside of Shemizimam, they both say, the Chalitin has something, has a quirk to it. It gives a low level to Yonim in this sense that it's the Chalitin is just a similar gavur that is a Gnir's Das, and the Gnir's Das accomplishes a Hakmoni Das. This explains, that's what Soloveitchik said, this explains the strange halacha that the Gemara has in Bava Basra. The Gemara has in Bava Basra. Bava Basra is a big fat Masechtus. A lot of times you have repeated in Bava Basra Machlokes Rabbah v'Rav Yosef quite a few times. So the Gemara says that there were three cases. I forgot already what the rule is. Usually passed like one, except for three cases he passed like the other one. So one of the three cases in Bava Basra that you passed like Rabbah, like Rav Yosef, is a sukkah in the Osir Inyan. When do you have the right to back out from the Kinyan? If I made, a Kinyan, and then I changed my mind right away. The second after I made the Kinyan, I have Chayotah. A person takes a Neder, a person takes a Shvur, and then right away he backs up. So he says, I take a Neder, he's angry. I take a Neder, I'm not going to eat whatever, the potato chips. And then he realized, made a mistake, so he says, I back out, forget it, no more Neder. So as long as he backs out, Tzerti Gediva, so Tzerti Gediva Kediva, then he can back out. From the Neder, from the Shvur, from Kinyan. What about a Kinyan Chalitin? So the Gemara passes the Maskani, you can even back out after Tzerti Gediva, because Man Shasukim, but also Inyan. As long as we're still talking about the same thing. From Shulchan Aruch that's quoted, and they emphasize it's only by Chalitin. It's only by Chalitin. Not all, there are cases in where they disagree. Cases in a few places seems to affirm that you can backlash for Man Shasukim also Inyan by all Kinyan. By Hazakim, by Mishichim, by Hagdor, by all Kinyan we can back out. But we don't accept that opinion. The Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion also, we give you a whole list of Rishonim who say it. The accepted opinion is that you can only back out because Man Shasukim also Inyan by Kinyan Chalitin. Man Ishtar and Kinyan Chalitin, so the answer is it's the same shot. But by Kinyan Chalitin, there is no Maisa Kinyan of Chalitin. The giving over of the handkerchief is just a similar devil that there is a Gnir as Das. And the Das Alimta, the Gemara's Das, accomplishes a Hakmami Das, a Kozman that is still, it's, if you do a Maisa Kinyan, So he said, test it, you do the Kibbutz Adam, you can back that test. You did this, you didn't back that test. You did it too late, that's all. And the king in his Kaaba. By Khalifin, there is no nice Kinyan that's called the king of Khalifin. The then the level of the handkerchief is just an indication that there is a stronger, there is a higher level of the Nirustas, and that Nirustas is going to accomplish the Khalifa Kinyan. So the Halacha says, as much as the most of Indian, the das is still floating around in the air, so it can still back out from the Kinyan Khalifa. So with all of this, Rav Soloveitchik used to love this topic. At least every second year, every year and a half, he would go through all the rallies with the whole shiur. It would take a whole 2 hours to explain the whole story with the Khalifa and very geschmack with all the Maimonides. So with all of this in mind, we can understand why the Rambam writes in Hilchos Mechira, Perek Hei Halacha Yud Aleph, the end, the last four halachas. Yud Aleph is basically Gimel Yud Aleph. The Rambam writes like this: Perek Hei, and this is Mesira Halacha Yud Aleph. Yesh Dvarim Harbei She'ein Atzir from Kinyan, Ve'ein Kinyan Behem Tam. There are quite a few instances where there's no need to make a Kinyan Siddur. Chus Nim Yud Yudim. There's no need to make a Kinyan Siddur, and even if you make a Kinyan Siddur, it's not Chaz. It's unnecessary. And he accomplishes nothing to go. Ham shachar es avdom. A man feels his other kinyan. He gives him a shtar shikra. Ham gai shes ishto. He divorces his wife. Eis a shliach. Ham eis a meidra. Ham avat a meidra. Ham echo chod lachavar. He's mecha mamas of yad tos. So the Rambam gives you a list. Vechen kol kayetz bidra meil. Etc. So the Rambam gives you a long list. There's 7-8 things. And then he says, etc. There are more cases. Cases where there's no need to a kinyan siddur. And even if you do a kinyan siddur, it's meaningless. It's unnecessary. It has no value whatsoever. Halacha Yud Beis. Nonetheless, Nogud, Rav HaMakonos, Lahaknes, Lemiktas, Eilu HaDvar, Makayetzbel. The meaning is that they make a Kinyan Siddur to be Machazid. So we, so some of these, yes, let's say when a man gives life to death, we don't have a Kinyan that anybody gives a Siddur to anybody. But when you make a Shliach, that our meaning is that we do that all the time. When the Balabatim appointed rabbi was the Shliach to sell a chametz for them, so the rabbi always gives a handkerchief to the Balabas, and he says, I'm not giving you a handkerchief, I want you to hand, give me over the power of attorney, give me over the right to represent you in selling the chametz to the Nachum. So the Rambam writes that the meaning that you make a king in Siddur when you appoint a Shliach, Kinyan Zeshin Ogre Lahakmus, the only one, Eina Malkum, to damage that. It's meaningless. Ela Lahadiyah, it's only to damage that. Shayna Amidram Eile to Mesache, in a Hakel. He's not kidding, he's not joking, he really means it. Ela Shigala Belizo, Racha Kachama, he really means it. He's appointing, he says, well, I'm Jew, how to come to Shul? Thank you. For Pesach, a couple of weeks before, but Rabbi, don't forget to send my comments. Goodbye. Shalom. So comes in with those that's not talking. So it sounds a little like a joke. Don't forget, Rabbi, please, send my comments. So now the rabbis have a new thing to stand out in the Shul Bullet and the whole card and the Bible sounds it. And so we then, I point to you with the Shul and send my comments. That's more serious. But a guy just comes and says, don't forget, the Rabbi, send my comments. So very superficial. So we want to beef it up to make it up this, a little more serious. So you have to sign a Shtar HaShur. Strictly speaking, you don't have to sign a Shtar HaShur. It's a good meal HaShur, even if you don't sign. You have to sign, and then the rabbi gives a handkerchief to the Balabas, also to demonstrate that he's not only can a Hasel, but can a Sachel, but a Shigama believer. So it really means it's a serious. So we say that the Chazanish and the Stipulator, the two brothers-in-law, when they used to ask Rabbanim to sell a chametz for them, they never bothered to make a Kinyan Siddur with the rabbi. But the Rambam says that it's a joke. But the Rambam says that the Kinyan Siddur is a joke. And Rav Soloveitchik, on the other hand, used to be very insistent on this. There is a cloud. Tosfos has a cloud on the first Mishnah in Berurah Basra. That although the Gemara says, Minhagim are binding, meaning not only if you will accept it upon yourself a minute, that meaning is binding, even if it's a minute I'm not, even a minute from your forefathers. The whole city does not have a minute. It's a family minute. So the Gemara says, family Minhagim are binding, and community Minhagim are binding, and personal Minhagim are binding, and meaning is Mitam Neder, as if the person had taken the Neder. So even though we know Minhagim are binding, so the person is supposed to have in the time, on the first Mishnah of Berurah Basra, there is a minute shtis that was not binding. Yes, learn the Mikan, because the first Mishnah says if you have two neighbors they agreed and they committed themselves to put a fence separating between the two backyards, or front yards, whatever the case happens to be, a shit from Shiraz or Lakish Mechitza, the neighbors who agreed to put up a wall. So the Mishnah says they're obligated to, they committed themselves, so they're obligated to put up the wall. So it says if they agree they're going to put a brick wall, so it tells you how thick the wall has to be. And if it's going to be a wooden wall, how thick does it have to be? And if it's a stone wall, how thick does the stones have to be? And if it's plaster, how thick does the plaster have to be? And then the Mishnah says, and what if it's some other material that's not mentioned in Mishnah? So it says, how close to meaning can be. So Tosis is bothered with a kasha. Why don't you save yourself a lot of bother? Just say, whatever the material is that they agreed to make the wall from, I'll talk many times in a fact. Why do you waste all the 5 lines in the Mishnah? If it's stone, has to be so thick, and if it's bricks, has to be so thick, and if it's wood, has to be so thick, and if it's plaster, has to be so thick. Just write out Tosis and Ramil. So Tosis says what the Mishnah means to say is that if there's a minigamdina that they make stone walls thicker than what it says in the Mishnah, they make wooden walls thicker than what it says in the Mishnah, that's a minig shtus and that's not binding. So the Mishnah gives you normal shiurim, for tefillin, levanim, real gazes, tefillin, levanim, those four materials. And then it says, the hakol minigamdina, etc. The Mishnah can't list up everything, but it means to say that if you I'm welcome to make thicker than the things mentioned in the Mishnah, that's a minig shtus. And then Rabbi in time says, and Baruch Hagam, the Kanye Shlomo, that a minig shtus is not binding. The Menhagim are binding in general when there's a minig, I'm welcome to do something, so it's a stupid minig, so it's not binding. It has to have a very good reason. So the disciple on the Chazon said that there's a minig shtus, it's a stupid minig. Who said so? The Rambam said so. Raman says that to make the tumen fitter from the thing is chametz and the thing is shlech is stupid. Rashi Rachel says the Raman didn't say that. The Raman first said that it's not chametz, then he defended it. Then he explained why it is good. So Rashi Rachel said, no, you got to be insistent to observe the minig. The Raman defended the minig. It's a wonderful minig. So what is talking the minig mean? Well, what is the minig all about? He says, you make a kinyan version of the lahakmos. The ilah adram, ilah adram, sigonish vat, it's worthless. Ela lahudiya sheim ha'amadram halal ki misachit ha'mahakel, he's not kidding, he's not joking, ala shegom ha'bunu b'vach p'cham, ala sikhaf the Rambam says. What if the Balabas comes to the Rabbi and he says, I hereby come to you as my shliach to sell the chametz for me, and I'm doing this b'lei gomor amarti devazeh. So then the Rambam says, then he's nearly to have the kinyan seder. The fifth Rechemomach, the Balabas comes to the Rabbi and says, Belev Shalom, Ani Amayti, the Gemati, Lassi, Dabazeh. And so if the Racha Klaus, then there's no meaning. Then it's a meaning Shtus. The other Kinyan Siri, after the Balabas makes such an oral declaration, I'm appointing you as the Shliach, Belev Gomer, in order to sell my Chomei, then it'll be a meaning Shtus. But if the Balabas didn't make this declaration, then the Rambam says it does make sense. So how does it make sense? What does it have to do with making the Kinyan Siri? Kinyan Siddur is a Kinyan. It still doesn't make any sense. Why should he make a Kinyan? You should have a meaning that everyone who appoints a Shlech should say, B'lei Gomer Amayti V'da Mayti Gavazeh. When you give a get, when you appoint a Shlech, when you sing a Rebbe Kinyani, when you make a Maidah, when you make a Maidah, make a request, develop a meaning that everyone should say, I'm doing this B'lei Shalom. What is it? What kind of a silly meaning is this that you make a Kinyan Siddur? So that's why Rashi Rachid said, no, that's exactly what the Kinyan Siddur is all about. It's always like that. Kinyan Siddur is not really a Kinyan. Kinyan Siddur is just a similar Midah that there's a Gemilas Das, and then the Das accomplishes. It's a Hakmah Midah, the Das accomplishes the Chalos HaKinyan. So since Kinyan Siddur is just intended as a similar Midah that there's a Gemilas Das, so the Rambam says, that's why the Midah developed. To make a Kinyan Siddur in these cases to demonstrate that the late Shalem, the Gomer, Amarti the Gamarti, Lassus Dabazet. This was the answer also to the other Kasha. We have this, he said from the Pnei Yeshua and Gitlin in the second period, that you know the Tatalim don't work on carcass, you know the carcass don't work on the Tatalim, the Mephilus and the Gemara. The Mephilus is a Mephilus, not for whatever he's going inside, he's going to tear in the Chuba. That's a chain of Mephilus, there's no hole on the bottom of the flower pot, and whatever's inside, you offer with the plant inside, he's going to tell us. So the Gemara says, Kinyan is talking about work on this one, not on the other one. Kinyan is talking about work on that one, not on the other one. So the Gemara says, since not Gemara, Kinyan is talking about work on the Talcum, Kinyan is talking about work on Talcum. How come Kinyan Sudha works on both on Talcum and on the Talcum? And which is it? What is it in androgynous? Why does it work? Is it Kinyan Karka, so it shouldn't work on the Talcum? What is it Kinyan Talcum? It shouldn't work on Karka. How come it works on origin? So the answer is, because that's what it says in the Gemara Sudha. It says, because we're from Israel, the kind called it. The kind called that means that it works on anything and everything. It works on Karaka and on the Talmud. That's what the Rishonim point out. The Rishonim point out, the Baal HaTosis point out, that you know how to have a meaning solution on that Gimel Amud Aleph. Maybe if a man wants to be Mekadosh a girl with Khalifim, maybe that would be good. Maybe King Khalif, maybe King Khalif should be good for Kiddushin. So the Rishonim was, where is the Pasuk? In order to establish Kiddusha Keser, Kiddusha Shtar, Kiddusha Dira, all the forms of Kiddusha, we need a Pasuk in Chumash. Where is there a Pasuk? We can't expect a Pasuk in Chumash for Chalitim, but her Chalitim story on the things in the Gira Swiss. Where is there a Mashmas in the Pasuk that would lead me to believe this Havamina? The King of Chalitim, King of Siri should be good for Kiddusha Yisha. So the Baal HaTosis have a Megillah Swiss, a commentary, so Baba says he's right. How many is from the word Kol, the kind Kol Dover. Kind Kol Dover means anything and everything. And that's why it works on Karka and on the Talpilin. So the Habimun of the Gemara was, it should work for Kedushin as well. So the Gemara gave the whole explanation. Just complicated explanation. Now gives an answer. The Kedushin of Zinu Lamanau, that Chalitman is no good to be Mekadosh and Isha. But the halacha lemaise, but the halacha that King Khalif and King Yisuri is good, both on Karka and on the Talpilin, that's Taka based on that Pasuk in Kankodel. So how do you understand that? Manishtana hakamola, the King on the Karka don't work on the Talpilin, King on the Talpilin don't work on Karka, Hakam Khalif and works on everything. The answer is, it's neither a King in Karka, nor a King in the Talpilin. The truth of the matter is not a King in the world. It's just a symbol of God that there is a strong mirror as that. And then it's in the form of Hanikman Barmira. That's what Tosfos says, that's how Shtar works. Tosfos has to kasha, how does Shtar work to create his chayrus? His chayrus is considered metalkalim, and Shtar is a king in karka, it doesn't work on metalkalim. Tosfos says, not true. Shtar is not a king in karka, that it shouldn't work on metalkalim. You have to add on to the exam, talking about that way Shtar, you can't describe the metalkalim in the Shtar. But in principle, Shtar can work both on karka and metalkalim. Same as Khalifin works on both. So that was what Tosfos seems to say in the beginning of the Tosfos. We started off an hour ago with a question. So now we have an answer. The question was, if the Pesach and the Pshara is binding, because Pshara is not common arbitration. Pshara means that Pesach Bezman on the Lefum Shira Sadin. And whenever the Bezman had a right to be done, the Bezman has the right to force a Pshara, Pana Bani Dinim, about 3 weeks. But let's say agree to Pshara, so the Bezman had a right to proceed. So we go to Pesach, Pesach should be binding. So why did the Gemara say that it's only binding if it is the king and suitor? Sounds like it's just that his kind is bizarre. It doesn't sound at all that a Pshara is a Pesach Bezman. So what if the two, if two comes up, Hakayas Mishka, maybe the way he comes up with the Sheikhah, and with the Dina Tayyid Ibrahim Mishnah, the Pshara, where did he come up to say such a thing? If the Pesach is binding, the Rehemis and Sharon said, because it's a Pesach of Lefusha, the Pesach, so what do you mean a King of Halitim? The Pesach says, no, you need a King of Halitim to demonstrate that the Lev Shalom, the Lev Gomer, he's accepting a business of Pesach. That's why you need a King of Halitim. Like the Rambam explains, the meaning is that people make Halitim when they appoint a Shliach Lehalach and Taget. When they appoint a Shliach to do Mechiras Chametz for them. So the meaning is that the King of Halitim demonstrates that I'm appointing the Shliach below Shalom. But that's only a meaning. Really, my house, this is a real deal. That you have to demonstrate by doing the King of Suda that you're really in approving and authorizing the Bezin to issue a stock of Shalom. If you didn't make a Kinyan, then maybe the agreement to enter a stock of Shalom is a Heskin depressed. Maybe that agreement is considered depressed. But that was what the Gemara said, Pshara Tzricha Kinyan. But the binding force of the Pshara is not because the Kinyan is Mechazim. The binding force is because it's a Pshat Bezis. And Beidina Basha Beidina, Lei Daiki. that was the first line of cases with the second half of cases. Well, that's the first half of cases, the big fat cases on Omer Aleph. The bulk of this case is discussing the topic of Mechila in the kingdom. So somebody owes me $1,000, and I say I have to go to home, I'm Mechila, I'm about to, he doesn't have to pay. And then 25 years go by, and I lose all of my riches, I'm no longer such a rich person, and now I call him up and I say, no, well, for the $1,000 that you owe me, I could use that money now. So the guy says, sorry, but you're American at home. So I say, well, I take it back. It's too late to take it back. If you take it back first, it was easy, it's a different story. But he's going to back out 10 years, 25 years later, it's too late to back out. So we assume that the Mechila ain't a tzricha kinyan. Even though no one made any kinyanim at the time, the Mechila was just an oral pronouncement, an oral declaration. He says, I'm not a Mechila, so Mechila doesn't require a kinyan. The Tosfos brings many rayas, and with each rayas, and we can talk a little bit with, but basically all the rayas together are very conclusive. We assume that that is the thing. The Mechila ain't a tzricha kinyan. Well, one of the best rights that Tosfos brings is from Sefer Bakhtus Balad. It's on 8 lines from the bottom or so. In Shafi Chafi Shalom al Tzavik Sibas in the Sama Machla. The husband died a long time ago. And 25 years go by, and the Amana never asked for payment of the Ksuba. So she, if 25 years went by, she didn't say he did. But that collection of the Ksuba, we assume that she was Machla. Shafir Khafir Shan with the Amana waited 25 years like Tabi Sibas and Mustama Maha. And the Tashib Shah goes the new king. So that's some interesting. That's some interesting Mishnah. Some Achronim wanted to prove from that Mishnah that Mechila ain't a tzricha kinyan, and even Mechila the name is good. But you don't even need an oral declaration. You don't even need an oral pronouncement. The Amana didn't say one way or the other, she just waited 25 years. And we see that she's not interested. For 25 years she didn't say a word about the life of the Ksuba, she's not interested. So we assume that a Mechila below Habi Mechila. So the Ksefa Choshen quotes a commentary on Choshen Mishpot that's called the Ksefa Shulchan, something like that. So he quotes from this Ksefa Shulchan that we see from this Mishnah figures that a Mechila below Habi Mechila. China comes up a lot of times, let's say I lent the guy $5, and a week or two go by, and he doesn't give it back, and I'm embarrassed to go ask him that I lent him the $5. So I think in my heart, I'll go forget it. Forget it. I don't want you to be over on Zola. So then the next day, he comes back and he gives me the $5. So do I have to tell him the truth? I was mocking you yesterday, delay. I didn't tell anybody, I was mocking you delay. So if I'm going to take the $5, it's really Geneva, because you don't owe me anymore. Once I was Mecha Belay, so you don't owe me the money. Or do you say, no, Mechila Belay is ain't a Mechila. Maybe you should say, Zamsha Belay ain't a Belay. So in this Sefer, there's a Choshen quote, there's a Shulchan, he says, you see from the Mishnah, you show us, that's what you show them, that's what you see from the Mishnah, you see Mechila Belay, that's a Mechila. So the place thinks that that's not a good Hechocha. It's a Hechocha to the cause that Tosfos is driving at. So it's kind of people over here, the Mechila and the Tzirka Kinyan. So that's a good line, Mechila and the Tzirka Kinyan. No Kinyan was made. But it's not a proof that Mechila below Havi Mechila, because normally we have a cloud, Vamsha below, they went wrong. But if it's Vamsha below, but below color, then if it's an Indian, the Mukhak, that everybody can read my mind and we all know what I'm thinking, then we don't label it as Vamsha below anymore. So here, if the woman, the Amana, waited 25 years after the husband died, she didn't say a word about collecting the Ksuba, so that's considered Zam Shabaliba Belay Kola, then that's equivalent to Zam Shabata. It's considered as if she had said, orally, so she verbalized it, I'm hereby Merkel to the Sermon, they don't have to pay me the Ksuba. But if you would have a case where 2 weeks go by, and I think in my mind, I'll forget it, I'm not going to ask him, and I'm Merkel. If I say I'm not going to ask him, that's a different thing. That's not necessarily Mechila. Never mind if he pays me. He pays me. If he doesn't pay, garnished. I'm not going to ask. That's not Mechila. But if I have a mind, I'm Mechila him, so he shouldn't be in violation of Le Sasha, he shouldn't be in violation of Le Sigzo, and then later on he comes to me with the money, so that's the Shava. So the first sign is that Ram Shabalev and Ram. The Mechilis wants to defend this position of this Tzeit HaShulchan. So he quotes a Rashba in Kiddushin on Daf Nun. on the sugya of Dvam Shebelev and Dvam. So the Rashba comes up with an original idea. The Rambam say in the sugya there, on that Mantas, that Nuna Kiddushin, when does the Gemara come to this idea? Dvam Shebelev and Dvam, that's Levata Dvam Shebelev. The story of the Gemara was that a man sells his house and chutz la'aretz because he decided he's going to grab Aliyah. And he sells his house and he packs up and then he goes to Otsama and the job falls through. She has no panasim. She has no choice. She has to come back to America. She has no home. So he comes back and he wants to, and let's say the other guy didn't leave into the house yet. So he says, I want to back out from the deal. And let's say he never goes. He finds out that the job fell through, so he never even goes to Otsama. So he wants to back out the next day. But he never said this to the customer who's buying the house. If he tells him, I'm selling the house because I'm planning to go to Otsama. So maybe if he tells him, even if he didn't make it tonight, maybe it's self-understood that the whole selling of the house is out of tonight. I'm selling you my house in America. I'm the understanding that I have a job in Eretz Yisrael and I don't need a house. He's going to turn out my job first and I have no time left to go. Of course I need my house. So it's self-understood that I'm not selling the house. Yeah. But what happens if he doesn't say a word? The merchant, the customer, the one who's buying the house, he doesn't know that this guy's going out of line. He's relying on this home. So he sold this home. The Lekeach sold this house. And he's about to move in. Then the merchant says, no, my job and I sell that through. So the Gemara says, Dvam Shebelev Ve'en Dvam. So the Rashba says, I'm not Gemara, Dvam Shebelev Ve'en Dvam, the Baka Dvam Shebelev. Because the seller sold his house, and he didn't say a word when he was selling the house at the Talat Tanai. So the Dvam Shebelev that this is a Mechira Stoma, Mechira Behechlet, Beli Tanai, and the Dvam Shebelev are trying to Matala Tanai in the Kenyan. So then you say Dvam Shebelev Ve'en Dvam, Levateh Dvam Shebelev. But if the Dvam Shebelev are not Levateh Dvam Shebelev, the whole thing is a Dvam Shebelev. You owe me $1,000, and I make up in my mind that I'm making you, and nobody can read my mind. So Rebbe Shem can read my mind. The best of the dumb people can't read my mind. They don't know what I have in mind. It's not the same as waiting 25 years. Everybody can read her mind. The amount of being asked for the Ksibah for the last 25 years since I was here, it's obviously she's not interested. That's Dvam Shebelev that believes the law. Let's say I'm Mecha Belev. Nobody can read my mind to know that I'm Mecha. So when you see this, it's so what? The whole Mechira is Belev. So Dvam Shebelev have a Dvam. The Raj Belev can read the mind. The Dvam Shebelev is only Yen and Dvam. The Lakel Dvam Shebelev. If you want the Dvam Shebelev to cancel, to serve as a Chazara on the Dvam Shebelev, he wants to back out from the sale of his house. Based on the Tanai that he made believe that he's only selling the house on the condition he goes to Eretz Yisrael. But over here, the Dvam Shebelev is not Levata Dvam Shebelev. You owe me $1,000. That's kind, you owe me $1,000. Then I make a Mechila. Mechila is an independent thing. And if I made a Mechila Belev, so good. So that's wrong. So then you see what it says. The Mechila Belev is a good Mechila.
And the Vata original lending?
No. For the last 10 years, he owed me the $1,000. No, Mekanel Habor, it doesn't undo, it's not Mevatel. Mevatel means, I sell the house and it comes out I didn't sell the house. You hear no, until now you talk about me the $1,000. And now I do Mechila. Mechila is an independent institution of Mechila. So that's the Machlek inside of Paskin. The Rashba himself was from the Sefer Yerim of Lezim and Mitzvah. Tamar Abin Atam, Sefer Yerim does not agree. So the choice of that you pass the life of Lezim and Mitzvah. And when you see these things, you should pass the life of the Rashba. Okay. So that's a Machlekes in Rishonim on the city of Dvam Shebelev Ve'en Dvam. And a Machlekes, the choice in the city is how they think you should pass it. Which Rishon Shita makes more sense on the topic of Dvam Shebelev. Yeah. How does Mechila work in general? It wouldn't be any need to philosophize if not for the fact that we have an Afkimina Ledina. We're going to clear a Chakira. A Chakira, Tal and Afkimina is Nishkin Chakira. So we have, there is a question over here. How exactly does Mechila work? Because we have questions and detail cases. Let's say you owe me this $1,000 debt, and then one Sunday I see you and I say, you know, my dear friend, I lent you $1,000, I'm so rich, I don't need the $1,000, I'm Mechila. You say, no, you feel insulted. You're also very rich. You don't need a handout. You don't accept my mechila. You refuse to accept the mechila. You say you're going to pay me back. You don't have the money right now. I'll pay me back in the course of the month. You don't have it right now. So I keep on insisting on mechila. You keep on insisting you don't accept the mechila. And then a couple of weeks go by, and then I decide I change my mind. So I say, okay, you didn't accept my mechila, so I want you to pay me the $1,000. And he says, no, but you don't like it. Everybody changes their mind. He says, no, you don't like it. So what to do in such a case? At the time that I was Michael, so is a mechila bar kocha shel aleda. Does mechila bar kocha shel aleda work, or does it not work bar kocha shel aleda? So this is a question. Aloha mani. This is a question in the Machna tribe. So what is the issue depend on? How does mechila work? So some Rishonim, the Melchai and Agaf, has a good imagination. So the Melchai says, Mechila ain't a tzricha kinyin, because it always has a built-in kinyin. Mechila always has a kinyin chotzer. What kind of a kinyin chotzer? If I'm giving you an object, if I'm giving you an automobile, I'm giving you a steak, I'm giving you a suit, I'm giving you a watch, and I put it at your house, so it's sitting in your shoes. So you're kind of in the kinyin chotzer. You're not kind of about chachaka. Chotzer is kind of shalom midaita. Chotzer is kind of shalom midaita. The person is right in Chetzki Shabbat, and the Chotzer is not saying about Kocha. If the person knows that the thing is sitting in his Chotzer and he doesn't want to be saying it, he's not saying about Kocha. So there is a din of Kinyan Chotzer. So normally, we're used to thinking, normal people think about normal Kinyan Chotzer, when you kind of Dada Hamitaka, you kind of some tangible object that's in your Chotzer. Here the Melchai has an imagination, so he says that when you owe me $1,000, so we're talking about an amount of money. So he says, the debt is a double shame group of money. The debt, the obligation, is in your chotzer. It's in your issues. So when I say I'm echad the debt, there is no tangible, even if you have the $1,000 in your pocket, but most, the haver, mevel ha'atzen, listen, you have a right to spend that money. So when I say I'm echad the debt, so he says, by definition, the debt is always, the chov is always in the reshus of the leiver, because he has a right to spend this money, and the leiver is kind of with the kinyan chotzer. It's not a real chotzer and a real tangible object. The chov is an intangible thing, intangible moment, so he has an intangible chotzer. The fact that the chov is in his reshus. So if you say, well, the Melchai presents it, that the reason why the chiva ain't a tzricha kinyan is because it always has a kinyan, namely, what's our kinyan chotzer? Then in other words of kinyan chotzer, chotzer is kind of shalom midaita, but not bar kocha. That's Tosfos says a hechacha from the Gemara Cheskes Habatim. Chotzer is not kind of bar kocha. So if it's a disagreement between the Mav and the Lev, Mav says I'm mecha, and the Lev says I don't accept the mechila. So then he's not kind of the kinyan chotzer. He can't be kind of bar kocha. He can't be kind of bar kocha. But not all the Rishonim agreed to that. That mechila works within kinyan chotzer. You know, it's a kinyan achel, you don't need a different kinyan because you always have a kinyan. You always have a kinyan chotzer. Most Rishon do not say with this imaginary chotzer. An intangible chotzer for the intangible moment. So other Rishonim hold differently. Some is there's a Rashba in Ksubos and that are in Dalit. The Rashba holds that Mechila is Kihis Kabalti. Mechila is Kipiron. If you owe me $1,000, and then you give me the $1,000. You pay me up the money. And then I say, thank you very much, and I give you back the $1,000. So even if you refuse to accept it back. But I say, thank you, you paid up the debt already, you finished, and here's the money. And I walk away. So the chayv is parura. I can't make you pay something. I mean, you paid up the chayv. So what happens if you're about to give me the money? You have the $1,000, and you're about to give me the money. And I say, it's okay, I'm there for the chayv. So Shami Shalom said, the Rashba has this in your exhibit, that Mechila is considered a form of Pirat. If you really give me the money, then I give it back to you. So the moment you give me the money, the Chob is Parua, then I give it back, fine. So you're not Mechila's to pay anymore. So even if you're about to pay me the money, and I say, I'm satisfied with your gesture, that you're about to pay the money. That's good enough. So that's also considered Pirat. And let's say, so I'm in the middle of doing something, I'm in the middle of writing something, and you want to come and give me the $1,000. And I have no time now to take the money, so I say, okay, so let's put the money on the table, and I want to continue writing. even though the table is yeshiva property, it's not my home, and I'm not taking away the kinyachot, so that's also called piran, a lot of Rishonim say. Made the money accessible to me in a form that's satisfactory to me. Let's say you call me up on the phone and you say, hello, I owe you $1,000, I'm putting $1,000 on the table in the Beis Medrash in Brooklyn, in Flatbush, and I'm in Washington Heights. So that's not making the money accessible to me. Or he says, he's putting the money in my shtender in the Beis Medrash. I say, yeah, but the workers work into the Beis Medrash. They can work off of $1,000. I don't agree. If he puts the money in my pocket and he says, here's the Piran, so that's the Piran. Piran HaKachesh may Piran. If the Lezer pays the money to the Malva Balkoche, if he puts the money in his Rishus, he makes the money Mamish accessible to him. So Piran Balkoche is also Shmei Piran. But if he puts it in some fluky position, that's not necessarily called a Piran. But let's say I tell him, no problem, just take $1,000 in cash, put it in an envelope and write my address and throw it in the mailbox. And I say, that's it, that's good enough, that's a Piran. Then of course the money disappears. So the good news that he did his Piran. He put the money where I asked him to put it. That's called Piran. He made the money accessible to me. Piran Hayes, when he makes the money accessible to the Malva in a satisfactory fashion. Satisfactory to the Malva. Malva is satisfied. So what if the Malva is satisfied? He says, you have the $1,000, I'm Mecha, I don't want you, I'm a Vata, you don't have to give me the money. So not only if the Lezer has the money, he's about to give it to the Malva, the Lezer says, even if he doesn't have any money at all, the Lezer doesn't know how in the world he's going to pay back the debt. And the Malva surprises him and he says, I'm Mecha, I'm a Vata the whole day, so Mechid was also to Piran. If he would have given me the money, I could have given it back to him. So now that I say, I'm satisfied, that's $1,000 remained by you, and the Harena Kiri is Kabbati, I consider it as if I got the $1,000. So the Rosh Behold, that Mechila, ain't a Tzvich HaKinyin, because Mechila is a Tzvich. Mechila is always considered a form of Tzvich.
Is it putting in the mail?
I mean,
you can get lost.
Right, but if the Malva agrees. The Malva says, I'll be happy to just put the cash in an envelope and put it in the mail. Yeah, a check is different. The check, if it's never canceled, so then the Malva still has the money, so the Malva does nothing. Unless they put cash in the mail, so the Malva does not have it. And the Malva says, I'll accept it. Just put the money in the mail and I'll be happy. So the Malva does good. I would think that that is called a Piran. Like if I'm sitting over here and I'm asking him something else, I'm washing the dishes or something, I'm fixing my automobile and my fingers are all full of grease. And I don't want to touch the money, get it all greasy, get it all wet. I said, put the money on the table. So that's called a Piran. He made it accessible to the Malva in a satisfactory fashion. So if the Malva asks the lawyer, just put the money in an envelope and put it in the mail and I'll be happy. So that's also a Piran. So if the Malva tells the Lord, I'm back on you. So that's also a Piran. This is the second sheet that Ram Mechila and Tzvich HaKinya. It's not that every case of Mechila is a Kinya Chatzir. No, Chatzir is only on real, when there's a real Chatzir and real tangible metalcolon. There's no imaginary Chatzir on the Schum Rami. But Mechila, you can't make the seller pay later on because it's considered as if Piran. Mechila is considered Piran. Yeah, that's why the Rosh on Mishnayos Trumos writes, why is it that by the Zashach HaTrumah B'Shegit, why can't the Kohen be Melcho? So the Rosh writes, because the whole philosophy behind Mechila, why is it that Mechila ever works? Because Mechila is a form of Piran. But here by Zashach HaTrumah B'Shegig, the halacha says there's only one kind of Piran that's acceptable. If he gives Deva Harayim, he has Kodesh. If he ate potatoes, he has to give back potatoes. If he ate oranges, he has to give back oranges. Whatever he ate B'Shegig, he has to give back the same thing. When he gives it back, it's Tashlum Minas and Truma. So how can I say, how can the Kohen, whose potatoes be Zareit, how can he make an agreement? How can he make an arrangement and say, I've been with you in Kapalti, I consider it as if I accepted it, as if I received it, as if he gave it to me already. If he would give it to me and I give it back to him, that's a different thing, but he never gave it to me. The halacha says there's only one kind of Piran that's acceptable by Zashach HaTrumah B'Shegig. That's Deva Harayim Yos Kodesh. No other forms of Piran are accepted. So the form of Piran and Mechila is also not accepted. Those are not a valid form. The Bala Taisis didn't think that that's right. The Bala Taisis said that, from that Mishnah is a Raya. From that Mishnah is a Raya, that there's never any Mechila on Kapera. That's what Taisis developed, the whole thing, that there are three types of Mammon, this Mammon and Knas and Kapera. And one of the last communities between Kapera on the one hand, as opposed to Mammon and Knas on the other hand, is Mechila. And the Chi of Mammon as Kapera doesn't lend itself to Mechila. So the Rash disagrees with Taisus. He says he doesn't think that they're right. Mechila works on Tashlim and Kapar. That's a Kufr Kapar. The Shah Amir kills an Adam. And the Yoshim of the Herod want to be Mechel to the Balashor. He says he thinks they can be Mechel. He says the only reason why Mechila doesn't work on a Zashah HaTrimah B'Shege is because Mechila, to his Kapar, was a specific way how to do the Purim. So you can't just set up your own form of Purim. The Kohen can't just say, well, put it in the mail and I'll be happy. No, it has to be Magiel Yad Kohen. It has to be Dela Ho'emi Yad Kohen. It has to be Magiel Yad Kohen. So if he's just Mechel him, that's not a valid form of Purim. And then there was a third opinion of Rishonim, that Mechila, it's your opinion that Mechila is a siluk, that the Malda has a right to be misalk himself in the whole thing. It's not a kinyan. It's not that there's a kinyan chetzer. It's not that there's a piran. He draws a path. He just removes himself. He breaks his connection with the chiyuv. So the Malda, the chiyuv moment collapses. Because other Rishonim want to hold, other Rishonim and Achronim want to hold, that Mechila even works by koch of the laser. Mechila even works, Bal Kocha of the Leiva. You can't say that Mechila is a Kinya Chotze. Chotze is not kind of Bal Kocha. And others don't believe in this Mechila ki is Kabati. Mechila is a form of Pura. Many disagree. If he's about to give the money, that's a Machlokes of Rishonim. If he gave the money already, that's Pura. He's about to give the money, but he didn't give it yet, that's a Machlokes. The Balamor and the Ramban. Famous Machlech, Balamor and Ramban, and Balakam, and Balakam, and Chesh, but the Balamor holds, Balamor, and the Ravid, both say. The Ravid is in its Mindayim, and in the Asavas, and the Ramah. So the Ravid and the Balamor both hold, if you're about to pay the money, most is the money, the other in the Flora, so then it's called, and the other fellow says, I'm Mechel, so then it's considered a Piron. This is how every Piron is Kabbalah, but if the guy doesn't have the Mechel, the best thing that I'm asking is the money, the other in the Flora. But even the Ramban and the Balamor don't say Mechila to Piran. That's the Rashba and the Dayan has like that, and not the Rashmi Shantz mainly. The Rashmi Shantz on the Shmai's Timus has like that. Mechila is to Piran. Mechila is to Sabalti, even if he's not prepared to pay the money at all. He doesn't have a penny. He's not Moses Mizuman and the Yodin. Of course they call Mechila to Piran. But there are a lot of other Rishonim. Most of the Rishonim disagree. How can you say Mechila to Piran if he's not Mechon and Mizuman to pay the money? So you have all these nachkeminis. Anyway, that's the good. Mechila is with a king, that's for sure. But the Mechila works by Koch HaShemeza, that's a deal. Machlaik is Allah HaLamayis. Then we discussed the Gemara on Zav on the base. The Gemara had the three opinions. The first time it says it's prohibited for a Dayan to suggest Pshara. It's Idris Adin, Hateris HaMishto. Unless you're not a Dayan, they didn't come to you for a Din Torah. Aaron HaKohen, they didn't come to him. They came to Moshe Rabbeinu. So if they come to Moshe Rabbeinu for a Din, he has to give a Din. He's not allowed to recommend that they should go for Pshara. If it's a third party, if it's a stranger, comes over and tries to convince them to Pshara, to arbitration, that's fine. Do whatever you want. But the Dayan is not allowed to suggest because that's a violation of Idris HaDin, and that's what the Pasuk means. In Tehillim, the Batzeh Beirach, Mi'el Tashem. The one who gives a blessing to the arbitrator that he made such a good arbitration, so that's Mi'el Tashem, that's in violation of all the laws of the Torah. And whatever tells the Chosh Mishpos, that's what the din is. You're not supposed to go for arbitration. The next panel says that he thinks it's permissible to go for arbitration, so he can't interpret the Tzibat Netz Hashem as referring to the arbitrator as having done anything. Well, we pass like the third panel, that it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to do a pshar. What's the nature of the mitzvah? Not to encourage them, not to push them through. That's the mitzvah on the top line on Zayin Menachem. when they come for din tayyib, the mitzvah is to say, would you prefer psha or would you prefer din? But you don't even have to push them on the psha, you don't even have to encourage them. That's just a modern practice, the last few centuries, because Rabbanim are afraid that they don't know enough. So they may not pass them properly. So we drive them to look for trouble, so we encourage the Bada Dinim to go for psha. So these are the three opinions in the Gemara. It's really a problem. What do you mean? The Bezdin is going to come up. The Bezdin will say, even though the Din says that Reuben is chayv to Shimon, Yoshe dictates that Shimon is chayv to Reuben. But the Torah tells us what's ethical. And the Torah tells us what the Din is. So what do you mean? We're going to come up. We're going to outsmart the Rebbeinu Shlom. We're more ethical than God. The Torah said again, we're not so ethical. We're going to tell the Rebbeinu Shlom, even though you wrote the Torah, this is the deal, we're more ethical than you, we're more good-hearted than the Rebbeinu Shlom. So it's very strange. That's what the first panel says. It's forbidden. But say back, me and Hashem, it's a news. It's a chil Hashem. What do you mean? He's saying that the Chosh Mishpat is unethical. So what are the other panel? No. We have sources in Chumash that could do such a thing. What it says in the Chumash is what the deal is. But again, we have a concept of Lefni Mishur Tadim. The Hedai to Lahem HaSadeh HaShiyach HaBogus HaMais HaShiyach. There is a concept of Lefni Mishur Tadim, not only in Kisa Vahatir. There's Lefni Mishur Tadim, there's Kosher, and then there's Glock Kosher. In every area, there's Amiris Chassidus to be Machna on this, Amiris Chassidus to be Machna on that. In Davening, and Hilchus Shabbos, and Hilchus Kashrus, and all on that, there's a concept of Lefni Mishur Tadim. So I'm doing money, this is also a concept of Lefni Mishur Tadim. Really, I'm entitled to the money, but it's questionable. It's like the Hamish Ha'ol V'Chochem, it's a concept. The passage says that Yecheskel HaNavi is pleading with the Rebbeinu Shlom, Rebbeinu Shlom gives him a prophecy that he should do something. So he says, Rebbeinu Shlom, give me a break. I'll never wait for the day of Tshuva Le'achalti. So have Achmanis on me. So the Gemara asks the Chulam, what do you mean the day of Tshuva Le'achalti? None of the Jews eat the day of Tshuva. Orthodox Jews don't eat the day of Tshuva. So the Gemara says, no, what he meant was, he never wait for the Hamish Ha'ol V'Chochem. Whenever there was a shalom, he was traces, even though the Mary Harer, the Paschim Mitter, he didn't want to get on about, because there was a shalom, unless it was after the shalom comes out, there's not much nothing to discuss, it was a stupid shalom. But if there was a judgment call, so that was the Midas Chassidus, that he had no other trace for Leah Chassidus. So there's such a Midas Chassidus, by Gezel, I don't want to take someone else's money. Not only do I not want to take someone else's money that actually belongs to the other guy, anything that's questionable, I don't want to take. So that's the only goal of Nimi Shura Sabin. Anything that has sworn or sinners, that Yesh is victims, that the other guy's entitled to, so as a Chumra, as a Midas Chassidus, again, with Nimi Shura Sabin, one should observe Midas Chassidus in the area of those things, and have to take that money. So this is an interesting concept. But what it says in the Chumash means you have to observe at least to this extent. Doesn't mean that is the din. It says, all the dinim in mishpatim, all the halachos in mishpat. This is the minimum, but that's not the maximum. So like in halachos kashrus, halachos shabbos, halachos taras hamishpacha, that's the minimum. That means if you mishur din, you know the direction the Rebbeinu Shlom wants you to go. So if you want to go further in the same direction, so that's a derech hashiyachadah. Further in the same direction. So you're going more in the direction that the Rebbeinu Shlom wants. So there is such a concept of Lefni Mishur Tadim, even in Deuteronomy. That's what this Psha is all about. No, they say Yeshe dictates that you should really pay the money to him. Even though the Halacha says you're entitled, but in your hands it's questionable. In his hands are not the questionable, because Yeshua really dictates that he should be entitled to the money. So even though the din says, the letter of the law says that I'm entitled, and Moshe Rabbeinu would have said, you can have din sahar, he would just say the din. But since Yeshua dictates that he should give it to the other guys, so I'm willing to take if the money will stay in my bank account, it'll be a little questionable. That'll be the Hamish Ha'er
B'chah. More questionable
it is, isn't it? That's what this... That's the Machlech Satanai. Okay, so that's what we assume that Psha is a good thing. Psha is a good thing.
This man owes the money. There's no way the other guy didn't have a good. And you can still say Psha. And then, because sometimes there's
The discharge don't stop like that. They start like that. And then they say, oh, let's make a show, you know, because we make everybody happy, you know. This person is being robbed, so to speak.
Is being robbed, that's not fair, no. Pshar is supposed to be that Yeshe dictates that he should win the money, a part of the money, some of the money. But if the deal is, and the Yeshe is that he should have the money. But just that the other guy shouldn't cross, that would give him a freaking deal. What's that? Well, common ground. The rest of our salvation suggested that the Gemara continues now, Haru the Haditharama, the Ezra. Well, because different Balabatim had different Pitgamim. They used to have folk sayings. And the Gemara finds Mikoros in Mishlei, and in Levi, and Koheles, and Tehillim, for these Pitgamim. Why were they interested in finding Pesukim? Just because they were nice ideas, and they thought they were all the nice ideas in the world should appear in Tanakh. So I said, wait, and why is this in this sugya over here? What is it got to do? We just had a sugya of the Mamas Bishlesha. Here, Parshas, no Parshas, and then we had the topic of Mumcha Rav Barati Vichidi, and then we had about Pshara, and then we had Maitri Shema, and so all of a sudden, we have all of these things coming. What does this Agarata have to do with the previous sugya? That's what our salvation suggested, that the Gemara is grappling with an idea over here. The Gemara came up with this idea of Pshara, that even though in the Torah it says that ethically he has to pay me, so we can have a concept, we can have a Hagasha below, that our Yosha dictates differently from what it says in the Torah. When it says in the Chumash, that's at least that. Yosha dictates at least that, but even more, Yosha dictates I should pay you. But a higher Yosha would be that you should pay me. So the Gemara says, is there such a thing? Is there such a concept that we're saying this like Shoya? That the Begdin of Shlosha can say differently from what it says in the Chumash, and that's a higher level of Yesha, of Yashrus, that that's a psak of Mekhnim Shuras Adin. So the Gemara says, yeah, that we assume that every Jewish Neshama has ingrained within it Ikar Yamuna and concepts from Tanakh. The Gemara has an Agarata, no, it doesn't, I don't know if it has to be taken literally. The Gemara has an Agarata in Egypt, that before every Jewish baby is born, the Malach teaches the baby Kolah Torah Kula. And then he makes him forget it. So it would appear that even though he makes him forget it, that something does remain to us. If the Malach makes the baby forget everything, so why did he waste his time to teach him in the first place? Apparently something does remain behind. So that's what the Gemara is saying over here, that these Pidgamim HaMamiim that the people had, we assume are flowing from the inner recesses of their hearts, from the fact that the Malach left an indelible impression upon their heart when they were learning Torah before they were born. Something does remain. These people never heard of these Kisei HaKodesh, they never heard of the Pesukim in Tanakh, but they know on their own, they have a natural inclination to say these Pitgamim, and we can corroborate the correctness of the Pitgamim by looking in Tanakh. So that's what the Gemara felt, that this fits in with the notion of the Tanakh, and we say that it's needed to make up show. Why is it needed to make up show? It's a Bezna Shashlesha Yisraelim, a Bezna three Eden, and the Neshama is none of Torah. The Neshama is none of Torah. The Gemara has a din that when someone dies, the relatives look clear. And then the Gemara says, and even if it's a stranger who's present when someone else dies, not a relative, he's obligated to look clear. And the Gemara says, what is this to be compared to? The rest of the Torah and Israel. Then he sees himself, the Torah is being destroyed. So the Gemara says, you have to look clear, so look clear. When a Yid dies, you have to look clear. What is the marshal to this? What's the marshal to this of Torah and Israel? The Gemara seems to be comparing every Yiddish and Neshama, even if the guy is an Amoritz and a big woman. The Gemara is comparing every Yiddish and Neshama to a Sefer Torah. And when the Neshama is destroyed, so it's like the Sefer Torah is being destroyed. Because we assume like that. We assume that every Yiddish and Neshama has learned Kolah Torah Kula before they were born. So that's why we believe that it's feasible for the Bezna of Shleisha Yisraelim to come up with a Pshara, a sock of Yoshim that's Mimashir Sabin, that doesn't correspond to what it says in Chumashim. It's not blasphemy. It's not like the first time it says, but say Berach Mi'as Hashem. It's blasphemy. What do you mean? The Rebbe Hashem wrote in the Torah what the din is, and that's what the Yoshim is. So the other time I'm saying, not necessarily. What it says in Chumash, that's the basic level. And there's room for Lifnei Mishir Sabin, like in the other areas, there's room for Lifnei Mishir Sabin. So how is anyone going to be telling what for Lifnei Mishir Sabin? I use him Shama that has observed a lot of Torah, has the ability to have the Torah speak from their soul and from their heart, and to say what Yesha dictates. Again, so the first time it quotes this passage, that was the Moshe B'yos Adir, the first time I've ever heard quotes the passage in Tehillim, chapter Yud, but the Tzeb Bech B'yos Hashem, he says it goes on the one who praises the Dayan, who suggested Pshar. But you're not allowed, a Dayan is not allowed to suggest Pshar. The other time I'm saying it's permissible and it's to be encouraged, it's a mitzvah to suggest Pshar. So how do they read that quote in the Tzeb Bech B'yos Hashem? So they give different suggestions. So one time it says, it's going on the one who's saying a bracha, a very, very religious man. He's saying a bracha is doing mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, but all of his mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim are all based on Gezel. He steals, so he more could have given a mashal the donkey. He steals money from everybody, but he's very charitable. Gives a lot of money to charity. So that's not a good example. He's not even right to the mitzvah of charity. Charity is, you give your own money. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, the Gemara says in the first part in Kiddushin, I'm not being called to achay kone mashkin. Shemem alachati tzedaka. If he's not kone mashkin, there's no tzedaka. So you see from the Gemara, the premise is that tzedaka is if you give from your own money. If I give my own money, if I steal money from everybody, then I have millions of dollars. That's not mine, and I give it away to tzedaka. So that's not, I'm not getting to the mitzvah of tzedaka. That's not a mitzvah of tzedaka. That's the whole lot of mitzvah. I'm giving away someone else's money. That's their mitzvah. They get the mitzvah, they need zolim, get the mitzvah. Tzedaka. Like you have the Tosefta says that the guy's working for Tosefta in the payer. So the guy's working as a whole in his pocket and he lost some money. And then two men follows him in the street and he picks up the money. And he's happy now, he has some money to buy some food. So the Gemara says the one who had the hole in his pocket is going to be rewarded for the fact, even though he didn't give the Tosefta out of the beginning, so it's all out of his pocket. That's not Shikha. He forgot. When he was harvesting your tefillah, if he got to, if he got some bundles, if he got shishkas hakama, if he got something, and he leaves it there, so he gets a mitzvah. See here also, if the guy that steals money from all these people, they don't even realize that they stole, their money was stolen, and he's very generous, he's donating to the mitzvah, and to the yeshiva, and to the shul, and to everything, he's giving away their money, so they get the reward for the mitzvah. They get the reward, like the one who had a hole in his pocket. Money fell out, and the army picked it up, so they get the reward. So the Gemara doesn't give such an example of the third Berach Mi'as Hashem, that the guy gave money to the prophet. The Gemara gives, because then he's not yet to the mitzvah. So the Gemara gives an example. He stole, and then based on what he stole, he did a mitzvah. He talked to Israel, so he did a bona fide mitzvah. But it's a mitzvah about the Aveir. Since the whole mitzvah came about because he did an Aveir, Betzea means one who steals. So if the ganef who stole, okay, he stole a lulav, and he has a lulav on Gozel, and he says to bracha, Betzea Berach, the ganef says to bracha to fulfill the mitzvah of lulav with the stolen lulav, so that's Mi'as Hashem. The Baruch Hashem is not happy with that bracha. He doesn't need the guy's bracha. Better that he shouldn't say the bracha. So Tosfos has a discussion on this particular kit. The Gemara has him by the Kama, Daf Tzadik Daf and Manav. The Gemara quotes this. Mom by the Kama has a machlokes b'shama b'sinu, that the shiru kaimu, or shiru bim kaimu raimim. If a ganef stole something from somebody else, and he made a major change, he made a shiru. He stole a sack of grain, and he grinds it up, and he makes it into flour, and then he mixes the flour with water, and then he makes it into a dough, and then he bakes the dough, and now he has cake and cookies, and he has collars and bread and everything. So originally he stole kernels of bread, and now it's in the form of bread. So he made kama the kama shinui, and he grinds it up and makes flour out of it, then he made dough out of it, now he made cake out of it, he made bread out of it. So that's a shinui. So do you say shinui is kaina, or do you say shinui is not kaina? Is the ganef kaina, or the ganef not kaina? So b'shamah has shinui been kama, and shinui doesn't mean anything. You have to give back all the loaves are dead and all the cake and all the cookies. And we don't pass the love to the Shama, we pass the love to the Sira, the Shini is there. So the question is, if Shini is, this Brisa sounds like Rabbi Eliezer Eimer, Rabbi Lezer Ben Hurtinus, that's Rabbi Lezer Eimer, Rabbi Lezer the Shamutinu. Rabbi Lezer usually follows the Shikas of the Shama, so it sounds like, yeah, we know him. That's the Tana Rabbi Lezer, he usually follows the Shama, but Shini didn't come around it, but Shini is not Tana. So we shouldn't really accept this Brisa Lalacha, because we pass them that Shini is Tana. So his mother says, no, it's not necessarily Rabbi Lezer Lishitasi because Rabbi Lezer Shamutinu. It could be the shiny hocha that it's a mitzvah by way. Maybe the din really is like the sila that shini is tana, but despite the fact that shini is tana, it could be that it's still a mitzvah by way. So Tosis has a problem over here because Tosis has a gemara in Sukkah in the first half of Lulav Gezer that once you claim it, the shini, in here it's a different name. Here it says a blazer ben yanki tana. That's why it says on the side by the commentary, Dalit Ayin Shom. Ayin Shom is that there's a major discrepancy in the text. Yeah, usually we don't pay attention. The names are a little different. Sometimes the discrepancy is, here it says Kaka, here it says Kaya. That's Kaka Ayin Shom. But usually in the names it does make a difference. Here it does make a difference. Blazer Ben Yankov is not from the Beshama. A Blazer Hador, a Blazer. Some of Blazer is a Blazer Ben Hikin, a Blazer Shamutu. He is from the Beshama. So the Gemara there raises that possibility. Should I say that this Brisa is only following the Shammai's opinion that Shina didn't come? I know that Shina is not coming. No, says no. Even if one should assume that Shina is coming, it's still a mitzvah baba there. So that's why you're not going to say about. So Tosfos has the difficulty, the big Tosfos in Peres Meridah, has the problem with this. What do you mean? But the Gemara says the Seirish. And in the first daf, that's the big citation, Samar Zayin Amar Aleph. And by the time it's all through, the Gemara says in Lulav Gezer, once the Zayin is kind of the Shiva, so there's no more mitzvah Baba Zayin. So how do you read this Gemara in Devakana? So Tosfos suggests, and this suggestion of Tosfos, Efshar, is quoted by Halach in Hilchus Lulav. It says, even though the fellow of the Ganath is kind of the Shiva, and it's not a mitzvah by Bavay, and the Ganath is Yotze the mitzvah, but it's not proper that we should recite a bracha. Mimi bracha shiny. And that's why the Pesach in Tehillim goes, Batzea Berech Mi'etz Hashem. It doesn't say Batzea means if the Ganath performs a mitzvah. The Ganath performs a mitzvah with the stolen item, the Shimon, is Kana, he's got the Yotze the mitzvah. But if the Ganath wants to recite Berech, the Ganath wants to recite a bracha shamitzvah, that's a mute. Mimi bracha shiny. Why should that be so? Why should it be brachas? That's quoted by Allah and Shulchan Aruch. Even though the Ganach is kind of a shinui, or yeshi shinui shis, whatever it is, and then he comes to perform the mitzvah later, and he already belongs to him, and he's yet to the mitzvah, he's not allowed to say a brach. Not permitted to say a brach. So we gave up as a possibility. Maybe there are better possibilities. I know we made a suggestion that there is an opinion of the Rambam is a Madhu Shaman Hai like that also, Shahnak is such an opinion. But the nature of Brichas HaMitzvah is that it serves as a Matu. But Midi Rabbanon, when I say it is no mitzvah, only Brichas HaMitzvah, but Midi Rabbanon, they said it's forbidden for a Jew to volunteer to do a mitzvah, to begin to do a mitzvah unless he first says a bracha. Once he says the bracha, then it's permissible. Just like Brichas HaNehemim, it's forbidden to enjoy Yalamazah. It's forbidden to have pleasure from this world without first reciting a bracha. And then the brachas is really tigyana. Everything in the world is like hegdish. And when you recite the bracha, then your Rishami has an expression that's like the tigyan hegdish, then you're allowed to get hanor. And if you don't recite the bracha, it's like gezel, men akadish bracha. It's like more of the hegdish. So too, with respect to mitzvahs, that before one has a heter to perform a mitzvah, he has to recite a bracha, and the bracha in a certain sense serves as a matter. So it could be that that's what the Tosfos is driving at. What do you mean the bracha is going to be a matter? How can the bracha be a matter? The whole story started up that area. He stirred, the other guy's grain. He ground it up and he mixed it with water, he went into a bowl, he baked it, the whole chag got in, but it started off the Yisra. So what do you mean? He's going to say the bracha, and everything is going to be forgiven. Why? That's the third birth. Mitzvah Hashem. The bracha, the bracha samitzah, he's going to recite. There's not going to come out that everything is mitzvah. This is the icing on top of the cake. And what everything that led up to this? Everything was the issa. And the whole thing started up. Maybe that's what patience means. But that's what's quoted La Locha, that even despite the fact that it's not really a mitzvah bar bavera, because he was already kohen with shinui prior to the Maisa mitzvah, that maybe bracha shani is not permitted to say a bracha. Is he allowed to say a bracha shani? Yeah, I don't know. There's machlokes, the Yamam and the Raza brother. I'm stolen food. I'm stolen food. Okay. The reason machlokes is Rishon Gedi said bracha on non-kosher food. That's a machlokes. The Mishnah says that if Shloshi Shachar Kachas Chayav Muzam and the bench Muzimim, what happens if they ate non-kosher food, so then there's no Muzimim. So many Rishonim say there's no Muzimim because they're doing, Muzimim means they're all eating together. But people are doing in Averia, there's no Tzirif. There's no Tzirif between them. But you do say a bracha, you say a bracha before you eat, you say a bracha after you finish eating. And the Rambam insists there's no bracha Samyang over there. You don't say a bracha there on non-kosher food. So you're raising the question, what about stolen food? If a person has stolen food, which he shouldn't have done, he stole the food, he's going to say he's not allowed to say a bracha on it. Alright? You got to look? Got to look it up. Here, Tosis has a little comment. Chon of Afor. Tosis points out, it would appear that this Ganes is Benonim Lamokim, he's okay, just Benonim Mahavera, he's a little Mizalza. So if he's such a religious guy, how come he waits to be mafish chalo till the end? Chon of Afor, the Hivish Mon Achal, he's only mafish to chalo after he's baked it. The Halacha says he's supposed to, it's preferable to be mafish chalo with Nisina Samayim. And you mix the water with the flour before you even have the gilder, before it even becomes a thick dough. The Rambam writes from the Yushalmi, there is a Hatchila, some Nisim in Amurfa, to be mafish chalo, Bishach Nisina Samayim. The Raizik disagrees with the Rambam. In Hilchus, the Bikurim, or Pchoros, or Tzad, one of the Rabbi has Hilchus Chala. So the Rabbi disagrees, he says, no, not that it's a mitzvah min amufka, if you're mafish b'odo, by Nisimus HaMayim, it's Chal. But the Rabbi doesn't think that it's a mitzvah. But it certainly is, the correct time to be mafish is before baking it. So why does the fellow wait till Chon of Afor, then the Hidrish Melech Chala? He's mafish to Chala, if he baked it already. He baked it, so the tether was already moved into the kalim. So the kalim had a blue atisa. But then when he's mafish chal, he's going to have to say, Arei zechal el Hashem on the cake and the cookies, and on the blue as kalim also. So why should he do such a stupid thing? You mafish chal before you make the, before you make blue into the kalim. So Tosfos comes up with an answer, which is only a little bit of shita sabein utah. There was a Gemara in Brochus, and Daf Lamed Zayin, and the Gemara Pesachim on Daf Lamed Zayin. And the Tosfos appears on both, in Brochus Lamed Zayin and Pesachim Daf Lamed Zayin. One Gemara seems to say that the Chiyuv Chala depends on Lishon. The other Gemara seems to say it depends on Afiyah. Have to have Afiyah. So which is it? So Abed and Tom says they're both correct. You have to put the two Gemaras together. If you do a lisha of a blila over a thick dough, then it's already called lacham, and it's chal v'chal, it's taken from the yad, b'shach, so lisha. But if you're doing a blila yakra, like many of the cakes today, you mix the flour with the water, and it pours. It's a batter. It's not a thick dough that you have to pick up. Like chal dough is very thick. And many of the cake mixes that you buy in the store, or batters, that you pour the whole thing, you just push it out and the thing keeps on pouring. Some of them are more liquid than others, but if it's a blila raka that can pour, it's not a blila over, then the Rabbi Nitam has a king called it Elisha, so it's not called Elisha, so then it's only Chal V'Chala after the Atiyah. So this Ganev, he's making fancy expensive stuff. He's making it a Blila Yako. So it's very fancy stuff. So it's taka halachically, this Ganev is a learned man. He knows that he's not chayv chayv to lech to the Afiyah. So that's why he waits to lech to the Afiyah. This, of course, is only a point of the Rabbeinu Tam, whose opinion has not been accepted. Rabbeinu Tam sheet is relevant both to Hamotzi and for Chiyuv Chalo. In Shulchan Aruch it's called both on Arachayim and Hilchos Hamotzi versus Bar Min and Mizonis, and in Yehudei, Yechelu Gimel and Hilchos Chalo. But the Rabbeinu Tam says, whenever you have a gula over, you have a thick dough, it's going to be Hamotzi, even if it's not going to have an Afi at all, even if it's just going to have a Bishul later on. And whenever there's a Blila Yako, then he only gets a Shem Lechem if you do an Afiyah. The Afiyah gives him a Shem Lechem. So the Rabbeinu Tam holds that, so you have a Blila over and some thick dough, and then you cook it like a Knedel in soup. You didn't bake it at all. You cook it like a Knedel. Our Knedel are made from matzah mel a lot of times. And matzah mel already was Hamotzi from before. That's the question, being the Vatala Hamotzi. But the Rabbeinu Tam holds if you had a blula over and then you cook it, so it's also going to be Hamotzi. So in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber says we don't pass them like this Rabbeinu Tam, we pass them like the Ramban. The Ramban says that it all depends on Afiyah. Everything depends on Afiyah. It doesn't depend on a blula over versus a blula over. But it's chai v'chalo b'shas nisimus ha'mayim if you plan to do an afiyah. If I do nisimus ha'mayim and I plan to do an afiyah later on, so it's really chai in chalo right away. So the Ramban, halacha ma'aseh, would not agree with this thesis. He said there is no such case where the halacha requires that you have to wait till after the afiyah. Ramban has a mishnah in chalo which he interprets to say the following. As a man did, Elisha on dough, Blulavak is irrelevant, doesn't make a difference. He did Elisha on the dough, planning to make a bishul. He planned not to bake it in the oven, he planned to cook it by the mashkin. And it never became the chayv v'chala. And then he changes his mind and he does an afiyah, so then after he does the afiyah, then it's chayv v'chala. Okay? But you never had a case that he planned to do an afiyah later and he has to wait to be machush chala to lift the afiyah. That doesn't exist. Only if somebody changed their mind in the middle, that's the Rambam sheet. The Shach in Yehudei recommends that one should be choshes for the Rabbeinu Tam sheet. One should be machmir. So that's relevant, because you're making a battle, a liquidy battle. It's a blue low rakah for the Rabbeinu Tam sheet, and it's not right to be machmir shalit to lift for the afiyah. You have to wait till later. So then when you do the afiyah, and then you machmir shalit, then you have to, but the kettle was nibra into the baking tin that you baked it on. So then you have to have the presence of mind to say that you want this challah that you bring mafish to remove the use of tevel from the baked goods as well as from the blue in the clean. That's a Yishami, that's legitimate. That's the service of Yishami Shulchan Aruch, that there is such a thing. Once the Ravagi the point to say, how can you mafish challah on a blue as Caleb? But that's the Yishami, that it is legitimate. So the Shach quotes this little Tosis Halacha, the Mai suggests, Lechatchilu should be machmir for the Rabbeinu Tam sheet. Okay. Anybody live in Queens? Anybody know Rabbi Moshe Rosenberg? Live nearby?
Yes.
His son is in Rabbi Mendelssohn Shul. I have two small matters that I read it is. And then you have it here. Okay. With no suggestion of distinction between Gvelos v'Chavolos as opposed to Gvelos v'Chavolos,